Oh, what's up, y'all? This is Tyler Headley. I'm having a party at my house tonight. My parents ain't around. We're going to be jamming Murder Metal Mayhem.
Spreading faster than a case of the clap in a trailer court. Able to shatter eardrums within a 666-mile radius. A podcast more brutal than all the rest. It's Murder Metal What's up, Chris? Joey?
What's going on, motherfuckers? Pete, Joey, fucking
fuck yeah.
Friday night or Friday night?
Friday night. Wow.
Getting a little ahead of yourself. Let's do this shit. Jesus Christ. Yeah, it was a long weekend.
Yeah, I was going to say you had a good weekend. So Tuesday today, Tuesday thing, bringing in episode 105, talking about some kids killing their parents and some crazy shit going on, and of course the state of Florida, because all kinds of dumb shit seems to go on down there. So
Floridia.
That's right. So can't wait to dig into that one tonight. Of course, got Joey Gormonger in here with us again. He just will not leave, but that's all right. We like you being here.
Yeah.
And good to have you and Chris back from your trip, and looking forward to hearing about the journey to South Dakota. So
it should be
interesting. Man. Now, last week was a good one. We did that feature on Gary Plowshay. Who would have known? So many people would have been interested in that episode. The vigilante who shot the guy that kidnapped and raped his son Jody in Baton Rouge, in the Baton Rouge airport, was where he killed him in 1984, and that was a wicked one. Apparently the listeners liked it because we broke the record, Chris. Most listens.
It doesn't surprise me, like the content of why he killed the guy and everything. Like, it doesn't surprise me that people want to hear that at all. Like,
yeah, and it's amazing, you know, like with the serial killers we've talked about that seem to, for whatever reason, get more play in the media. Just like that, our episodes sometimes just randomly, like this one, I would have never pegged this one for the most listens in the first 24 hours of any episode we've ever done. 709 listens in the first 24 hours, which is amazing. And we blew past that 1,000 mark very quickly, and it's still climbing. So thanks, everybody.
Fuck yeah, keep on listening. Pass that shit
on.
Yeah,
it's awesome. CK was talking about Acid Bath, and it's a fucking good episode, and we appreciate the support. So
I had one of those over the weekend.
An acid bath?
Yeah.
Oh, that should be interesting. I'm anxious to hear about it. Tonight, we're going to be doing a feature on Tyler Headley. Chris, this was one that you had mentioned as a topic, and it's a good one, man. Definitely fucked up.
Yeah, it's fucking... Dude's a fucking nut.
Yeah, I mean, anybody who could kill their parents with a fucking hammer...
I mean, that's just... Violent,
that's
dude.
Brutal, like, man. Brutal, I mean, that's up close and fucking personal. Hammer smash face to the fucking max. And then party with 60 people at your house with them in the back bedroom.
Shit,
that's fucked. And it's a good story. 2011 is when it happened down at Port St. Lucie, Florida. And we're going to talk about it. It's just crazy. But, yeah, it was a good one, Chris. You were right on last week with Gary Plowshay, so let's see if you can do it again with Tyler Headley.
Hell yeah.
CK, of course, ready to go on Wild Man Street in Danbury, Connecticut. As always, he's a fucking madman when it comes to heavy metal, and he's going to school us. Joey, he knew you were going to be here. He wanted to do some nuclear assault.
He kept asking me if I was going to be around, so I knew it had to be something dope.
Yeah.
For sure.
So that'll be good. That should be wicked. Some more New York metal. And that's definitely an old school band for sure. We've been talking a lot of old school lately, so it's cool stuff. He's got some other metal updates, and we'll hear, of course, from your guys' trip down to, or up to, I should say, South Dakota.
It's south,
part of
but
that
it's up.
Up, yeah.
Everybody, like I had somebody say that, going down south. I'm like, no, I'm going to South Dakota. Yeah, south, down south. I'm like, no, it's actually north of us, but okay.
Yeah, okay.
It was always funny whenever I lived down in Texas, because like I hung out like on the border of Oklahoma and Texas, so I was, you know, in between the two.
Right.
And if you're in Oklahoma, So what's up? You going up to Texas? And if you're in Texas, are you going down to Oklahoma today?
Oh, that's fucked up.
And it just blew my mind. Like, it was just like that's that. Fucking crazy. Yeah.
That's funny. Yeah, Texas, when I lived there, definitely an interesting state. Yeah. That's for sure. So, you know, you guys went to Slam Fest, and so I'm anxious to hear how that was. We're going to do that, man. Of course, in the metal segment, so it should be a good one. Got a killer cage match tonight, Chris. Again, we got some listeners to thank.
We got Rick Ring, Stephen Lyles, and Greg Maxlider.
Nice. For providing those random numbers. Appreciate that, guys.
That's awesome, Rick Ring. That's
he's a singer for one of
Gape.
Okay, Gape. That's what I thought. Yeah,
from Tasmania, Australia.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I saw him comment, and the name sounded familiar.
Yeah.
So I clicked on it, and I was like, oh, shit. Yeah. You know, that's cool. So,
no, that dude's super cool, and he's like been very supportive of the shit that I do. I support him.
Awesome.
Hell yeah, man.
Very cool. Well, thanks for listening. And Rick, and thanks for contributing with the rest. Tonight we got a good one, Joey. Who's in the cage tonight, man?
We have the foot fetish killer.
Yeah, shoe fetish slayer. Yeah.
Jerry Brudos versus Jeffrey Dahmer.
Nice.
Mr. 17.
That's right. Cream City Cannibal. So that should be a good match, and they're going to be fighting with a couple of really good objects. It's just pretty wild.
Yeah, for sure.
And then a variable to make it a fucking party in the cage tonight. So should be a good one. But you're going to have to wait, of course, in the Mayhem segment to hear about it. Yep. So we'll talk about that. Huge thanks to our sponsor, SpellboundEffectsAndArt.com. We've talked about them so many times, Chris. I mean, just killer stuff.
Fucking amazing shit. Tony knows what he's doing.
Yeah,
he's
and got I'm anxious. Badass shit. I'm anxious to when we can do some appearances again because, man, now we've got quite a few things to drag out. It's going to be pretty sick.
Table's going to be a damn spellbound freaking just everywhere, man. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, I'm sure the spike will get a lot of good looks. Right. And they all the pieces are great. But yeah, SpellboundEffectsAndArt.com. Go check out their online catalog. It's as if Ed Gein was in the back room creating this shit. You know, the vests and the hats and all the body parts and the thumb drives. I mean, it's just all fucking the wild.
Body parts.
Really
wild.
You think
of it, he's probably got it.
That's right. I still think we need to see if he'll make you a titty paperweight, though. I think that'd be cool. Just like Brutos.
Like Brutos up on the mantelpiece.
That's right. So SpellboundEffectsAndArt.com. Check it out. Perfect to go along with the pandemic. Pick up some gory, fucked up shit. So, all right. Huge thanks to everybody out there listening. Man, I mean, this week we blew the fucking doors off it again. Almost 7,000 listens total to all the episodes. So thanks everybody out there checking it out. We continue to see those numbers come in. New cities popping up. Saw Montreal, Quebec on the list this week. San Jose, California. And of course, Chicago, Danbury, Connecticut, and Bloomington, Illinois have been on the top 1, 2, and 3 for quite some time. Chicago just tearing it the fuck up. I mean, literally almost since the beginning.
Hell yeah.
I think Bloomington was on the top of the list the first like month, and then Chicago took it over and has not left number one. So thank you. Dallas keeps kicking ass on that list too. So appreciate everybody out there checking it out and spreading that word like a case of the clap in the fucking trailer park.
Thank you so much.
Hell yeah. So we got a lot of shit on our plate tonight. Got a hammer-wielding fucking psychopath. We got our own hammer bloody on the wall over there to fend him off if he comes fucking raging in here. We got your brother Michael here for emotional support in case fucking Hadley comes in going wacko. Michael, hopefully, he'll step up and fucking beat him down. Yeah. So we got a lot to do. And apparently we got this psycho that wants to fucking hack his parents to death with a fucking hammer. So
yeah, let's get our fucking hammer smashed murder on.
Fuck yeah, man.
The song fits perfect for this shit, though.
Man. Hell yeah. Some Cannibal Corpse, Hammer Smash Face. How the hell could we not play that, Joey?
Brutality becomes my appetite.
Yes, it does.
That's right. So we are talking about Tyler Hadley, and it is a crazy one for sure. July 16, 2011, in Port St. Lucie, Florida. 17-year-old Tyler took out a hammer, just a regular old fucking claw hammer, and beat his parents to death, stashed the bodies in their bedroom, and went ahead and had a fucking party, was going to do a two-nighter, and wound up getting in trouble.
Yeah,
got detained a little bit. Yeah.
Didn't quite make it.
It's a fucking crazy story, and we're going to dig into this one and talk about what led up to this. And Chris, this one a little bit reminded me of, to a degree, of when we did the SNS Liquors story, because there wasn't a lot of info. You really had to pick out a lot of different stuff and pull from different resources.
You actually had to look for
shit, this took a little bit of time to dig up, but I think we've got a pretty good concise package of what happened here, but there wasn't one source that was really an exclusive, listen or watch. It was really, like we were talking in the pre-show meeting, reading articles.
Yeah, there's
had to do a little more work
really
this week.
Really any kind of major documentaries.
No.
There's like short little
clips. 10 minutes, podcasts and stuff, but that was about it.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Which surprises me with this story. I think you could legitimately do a 45, 50-minute long doc on this dude, because it's a pretty interesting story. Chris, what was it about Tyler Hadley that made you suggest this one, man? Because it's been on the list for a while.
Yeah, when I first heard of it, I was like, oh, man, it's fucking brutal. So I was like, we got to do it just because of the brutality of
sure.
it. But then, that group, music group, skinned all their shits fucking true crime, and they did a song about Tyler Hadley. And then I just had a bunch of friends going, hey, you guys need to fucking do that on the podcast. That'd be fucking great. Dude.
Yeah.
Fucking, so I was like, all right, we'll see if we can push it up and
that's cool.
People happy about it. Let you guys check it out.
Yeah, for sure. That's really awesome. And Joey, how much did you know about this one before we started digging into the details?
I didn't. I learned about it pretty much from Chris.
Same here. I hadn't even heard of it, which is surprising.
I am the teacher now.
That's right.
Yeah, so once he brought it up, of course, I had to look in to see what the story was about.
Right.
Yep.
That's awesome. Yeah, I mean, that's what's cool about us doing this is each of us really likes the topics and the stories. So, I mean, we're like constantly throwing ideas at each other. Just never stop.
Oh, man, that one we were watching last night, dude. Fuck, we got to do that for sure.
Yeah, I gave Chris a couple good documentaries, and one was on Josef Ritzel.
Oh, my fucking God,
I think
dude.
I've heard
He's
of that.
The guy that basically kidnapped his own daughter, and he built like a whole underground bunker, fostered
maybe it's
seven
24
kids
fucking
her.
Years, dude.
I'll link you that.
Yeah,
it's fucked up.
I'm wondering if it is one I've seen, but yeah,
but
definitely
there was
it
that
me.
One, and then Teresa Knorr, who she killed her two daughters, burned one of them, the other one she put in a box. Her son, she had helped them. Like, she really tortured
them
out in California.
Oh, damn.
Pretty fucked up.
But,
shit.
The fucking daughter, finally escaped, many, many years afterwards and told the cops this, and they didn't even believe it until she told them, oh, well, did you guys find a Jane Doe burnt body in this location? They're like,
wait,
you do know some.
Interesting. Yeah. Oh, definitely. Yeah, please do.
We digress.
Yeah, and that's okay. That's what this show is about, because we're constantly, like I said, coming up with interesting ideas.
Yeah.
I had not heard much about it either, but once we started looking into it, holy shit, it's a good one for us. Like you said, Chris, it's got the brutality.
Yeah, it's just violent.
The hammer smashing fucking parent thing is like, holy shit.
I mean, that's up close and personal. And it's... We'll get into it, though, but as close as he was, it's just fucked up. Man.
It is fucked up.
It's different, but it also kind of reminds me of the Bobby Kent story, which they did the movie Bully about him, but he was a kid down in Florida also who was, picked on his friends, the alpha guy.
Right.
But they ended up killing him. like his best friend and his girlfriend and like all these other dudes. And Larry Clark made the movie, who did Kids.
Right, yeah, yeah.
But it was the same kind of deal, though, and they, like, took off, you know, after killing the parents and ended up getting busted somewhere out in Texas, some shit like that.
But, right.
You know, same kind of thing, like, oh, yeah, let's kill your parents. And it's like a Florida thing to do.
I guess. So Tyler is born in 1994 in Port St. Lucie, Florida, which is a city I looked up, about 165,000 people. So it's definitely bigger than Bloomington, but not bigger than Bloomington Normal together.
Not bigger than Twin Cities together. Yeah.
It's about 100 miles southeast of Orlando, and it's referred to as the Treasure Coast. It looked like in the 60s, somebody bought a lot of land there and figured it would be like a cheaper retirement.
Retirement community, yeah.
So they chopped it up into small parcels and sold it and sold the fuck out of it. Land. Yeah, it was all swampy, and they built it up and pitched it as, you know, grab a piece of paradise. And, you know, all these people from the north are like, boy, that sounds good. And so they were very successful. But then, of course, it crashed in the 80s and 90s. So you got all these vacant houses all of a sudden showing up. And these fucking pot growers are like, fuck it.
Fucking free fucking goddamn indoor fucking let's squat zone.
And
hell
fucking
yeah.
Set up a fucking big old hydro grow and I mean, let's
you know
go.
What, you know that's what Ricky would do. He'd be of like, course. Hell yeah, boys.
I mean, they said they get those houses $50,000.
Yeah. Like cheap as fucking balls. Well, yeah. Man.
So, I mean, they were, at one time, I think there were 70 illegal fucking grows going on there, and they called it Pot St.
Lucie.
Yeah,
I thought that was great. Instead of Port St. Lucie,
was pretty funny.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm wondering if Tony Campagna goes up and hangs out at Port St. Lucie. So we'll have to ask Tony about that. The area known to, you know, be more of a senior citizen type deal, so teenagers didn't have a whole lot to do there.
All I had to do was party, drink, fucking smoke, fucking nothing.
Hang out, you know. His parents, Blake, his dad was 56, his mom, Mary Jo, 47. They're upper middle class. They raised him in a pretty normal home. I mean, he had a brother, Ryan, that was 6 years older. His dad worked at a nuclear power plant as an engineer, and his mom was a grade school teacher. Yeah. So, I mean, pretty, you know, normal quote-unquote upbringing. I mean, Chris, we've covered stories like this before, like BTK, you know, raised in a pretty typical home with no real history of abuse or neglect. I mean, how the fuck does some shit like this go awry, man? Holy shit.
I think, you know, with Tyler, I don't know, maybe it didn't have a whole lot to do with it, but the fact that he was like born premature and shit, and he was in the maybe his brain just didn't fully develop, and like the drugs his mom was giving him and shit.
Yeah, it's possible. I think it might have been kind of a cocktail of a lot of different things in this case, but it is.
And his parents just kind of totally, basically for a long time, just ignored what the fuck he was doing anyway.
Right.
Like, let him get away with so much shit anyway. And then when they started trying to be fucking.
Yeah, it could be the whole he's the baby, you know, the older brother, 6 years older. Right. So he's quite a bit younger than his brother. I mean, that's a lot of distance between brothers that many years, I would think that'd be.
Like, when it's just, like I said, it's fucked up as close as he was, because when he was a kid, he was super clingy to his mom and shit.
Yeah, like always, almost overly clingy.
Yeah, like
you know?
always had looking to make sure that she loved him, basically.
Yeah, he would always ask her, Mom, do you love me? Mom,
right,
do you love me?
All the time. It was pretty fucked up.
Really weird.
Then he got into, like, you know, really hard drugs, though. That have effects on your fucking psyche and your fucking, you know, your depression levels. And not to mention, then he's taking prescription pills, which specifically have fucking side effects of possible, you know, suicidal thoughts. And that's where I think fucking a lot of it went with him. But.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, as a young teen, he's a little on the chubby side. He's small.
Yeah.
And I heard on the podcast I listened to that his mom was giving him growth hormones, which is pretty fucked up.
Like fucking $3,000 a month or some shit.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I didn't hear that. Wow. That's crazy.
They were spending like $3,000 a month on these growth hormones.
And she
hormones.
Like really thought it was going to make him feel better about himself.
Right.
Wow.
That's where she was going with it.
So I'm not sure how much that could have played into it, you know, given somebody, I mean, was that under doctor's care? Or were they doing
the
shit on
went to the doctor and she asked the doctor to prescribe him fucking
okay
just because he was so short, and she felt like he needed to be taller, I guess, which I think is kind of fucked up.
Yeah, because it's like you let him grow as he's going to grow, because his dad was like 6'1 or 6'2. Yeah, he's a big dude, pretty good size, 300 pounds. I did read that Tyler was having some issues as he got to be 15, but then, you know, a lot of teens do, going through, you know, puberty, and you got bad shit going on, like Joey, you mentioned, with drugs and of course, alcohol and all these things, prescription drugs, whether it be for him or shit he was taking on his own. This all fucking, I think, became like kind of a perfect storm. You know, because you got all these things, you know, at your disposal nowadays, cell phones, the internet, you know, things that I didn't have, you know, as a teenager. So, you know, I just think, boy, it makes things that much more confusing, you know, that you could communicate so much easier, without having, you know, access to a, like a landline, you know, you're able to do this shit on your own.
Wherever you want to go.
Yeah. And he had really, like you said, Chris, not a whole lot of parental guidance, because they kind of were just like letting him do his thing. And maybe it was because of the distance between him and his brother. I'm not sure. You know, they could have, they were a little on the older side. So maybe to them, you know, they were like, you know, tired, you know, because I know, at my age, you know, having my grandson over at the house, I mean, it wears me the fuck out. But when I was Joey's age, my Joey, not Joey Gormonger, you know, I was, you know, you don't even think of it because you got all this energy because you're a lot younger, you know. So it gets to you after a while. So that could have been part of it. Just like we talk about with these kids raised by grandparents, you know.
Yeah.
Man, a grandparent's not going to be able to whip ass like a parent is needing to do, you know. Right. So it's a different dynamic. The grandparent, grandchild versus parent child. It's different.
Yeah, it is different.
And it's hard for grandparents, I think, to jump into that role. And I think that's part of the kind of like what was going on here with the age difference stuff. But kids born after 1990 definitely would have been raised on the internet, cell phones, a lot more technology than, of course, any of them kids before. And you throw alcohol, prescription drugs like OxyContin and Percocets and
that weren't prescribed to him. They were just fucking taking drugs.
Yeah. So he's just doing a lot of stuff here. And then Joey, I mean, do you agree with like all these modern inventions having kind of an adverse effect? And, you know, when they stay cooped up and they're by themselves, all these bad influences. You know, back in the day, you know, you always heard your parents go outside and play, you know. Kids were outside more. Now they're cooped up, and if they're sulking and depressed, I mean, it's...
I mean, it's hard for me. I don't have any kids, so I haven't really got to see it like some of these other parents have, you know, watched what's going on. I see it from a distance, but, I mean, I can see the good and the bad as an outsider, so it's, like, hard to pick which I would go with. But, like on the bad side, I don't feel like these kids are getting any kinds of social skills. They're not going to be good once they get out in the world. I also feel like there's been an undermining, not a very father-like figure in a lot of families anymore. A lot of kids are raised by a mother or whatever who's more – I mean, nothing wrong with it. They're more apt to baby the child or be soft with them.
Or they're so overworked that they don't fucking have it in them at the end of the day. So without
the male structure line there, a lot of kids can go, you know – step on their mother or whoever. That's what I feel, and what I feel I've seen with some of the younger kids. So you got it like that. But on the other hand, the one thing else that I feel like I've seen that is kind of a positive, these kids ain't doing shit, and they're sitting in their home doing this and that and whatever. I don't think a lot of them are going to jail or juvenile like me and my friends did.
Oh, sure.
Because they're at home. They're not doing dumb shit.
Their parents know where they are. Maybe they're a little bit safer there with them than what I was. But if I look at it, that's how I learned how to grow, though. That's how I learned about the world.
Yeah, I mean, you have to do some of that stuff. Right. You know?
So I get it. You want to keep your kids and whoever as safe as can be.
Right.
But man, on the other hand,
you also have to let them skin their knees a little bit.
Yeah, because I mean, if you're going to be there for them constantly for the rest of their life,
right?
If you think that you're going to be able to fucking keep a roof over there or do whatever you need to do, okay, by all means, be that way.
Right.
But anybody who's fucking looking to live their life, you know, by themselves. Without you can't do that because that person's never going to learn how to
fight. No, it's just like those signs you see, don't feed the wild animals because they won't be able to feed themselves. Yeah. It's the same principle, you know. So Tyler's doing some bad shit. He's stealing money, $11,000 from his parents with credit cards. That's pretty crazy, man.
I don't know, man.
What the fuck are you ordering, man?
My ass would have been fucking beat down, dude. Yeah. Like,
oh my god, I don't even want to know.
Just happened. Like,
I don't even want to think about some shit like that, man. Comprehend wow.
Stealing the ass fucking whipping. Like from my parents at all, let alone fucking $11,000, dude.
That's
holy
crazy,
fuck,
man. He was also taking the keys to his dad's truck without permission. His parents took him to see a psychiatrist when he started skipping school and taking drugs.
What's fucked up about the fucking him stealing the fucking his dad's truck and shit? Cause
what's that?
They were fucking gonna. His mom said, even after he got into all this trouble and shit, his mom said that they should buy him a fucking car because it'd probably help him get out socially or whatever.
Which he had a car, didn't he?
Well, hold on. They wouldn't. They said no, but then he started stealing the fucking parents' vehicles, and that's when they decided, well, fuck it. Let's get him his own car. And that they got him that fucking, like, brand new fucking Lincoln and shit.
I knew whenever the cops got there, they found all three vehicles.
They gave him, like, a brand new fucking Lincoln and shit after he's fucking been stealing the fucking car, stealing 11 fucking grand.
There ain't no way,
like,
man. I'd have been dead in the backyard with the tomatoes,
dude, yeah, he wouldn't have been the one doing the killing, dude. Like, fuck.
Yeah, I would have been getting the hammer to the fucking head. So they take him, you know, to a psychiatrist, but like you said, maybe it's a little too late. From what I read, he was given some outpatient care. He was put into a substance abuse program. But it sounds like in this case, you know, it's just not enough, man. I mean, it's just...
Didn't
a little
like
too
it.
Late, you know?
Yeah, he didn't like it. Oh, definitely too late. Like, yeah. Because he didn't want to do anything they said.
No, and I mean, nobody really would. I mean, a teenager's obviously going to resist, but maybe more so because he was already really entrenched in this bad
just
behavior.
That's just the way his life was, and he's like not going to change. Like, this is it. Fuck it.
Yeah, and I mean, you can't blame the parents. I mean, they at least tried to identify the problem and take him to a doctor. It wasn't like the some of these horror show parents like Henry Lee Lucas and
just
shit just completely
shit.
Not giving a fuck.
His parents actually cared
they
about
seem
him.
To
they
try.
Trying.
Now, maybe they, you know, were a little late to the game and, you know, you could armchair quarterback this thing all you want, but I mean, it is what it is. You can't really blame the doctor because, you know, they can, you know, be manipulated by 100%. Somebody who's smart like he is. I see he got like a 2100 on his SAT. Yeah. I mean, that's fucking insane, man. I got a 950 or a 960 three different times. I tried to break 1,000. I couldn't do it.
Right.
He got a 2100. That's fucking nuts. I mean, I don't even know how that's possible. That's pretty fucking impressive. He had a really high IQ, too. So he's a smart dude. Sounds like, though, you know, he just, you know, like I said, just bad fucking shit all combining into one and made him turn, you know, turn bad.
Did you see whenever his mom took him to the counseling or whatever, you know, the drug thing?
Yeah.
Because she, what did they use? The Baker Act. She enacted the Baker Act, which is how you get a child involuntarily.
Under 18, you could put him in.
So she did that, but the event that, like, that was like the last straw or whatever is like he got so wasted wherever he was out partying, and he was at this girl, I can't remember her name, Desiree or something like that, pissed
all over
her
fucking bed.
Oh, yeah,
yeah.
He saw that.
He comes home
what the
and
fuck
he's just
was the
like,
deal
I'm
with that?
Smashed as fuck. Like, that was his words. I'm smashed as fuck.
Yeah, just coming in the house late as fuck. Parents
and that's
like,
what
just woke up the
like,
whole fucking family.
Yeah, what was the
shit?
Deal with him pissing on her bed?
I don't know, but I kept seeing them bring. I didn't see anything else besides the fact that he did it, but I have to imagine that fucking... That became an issue over at that person's house. They got a hold of his mom, like, "Yo, what the fuck?"
Yeah, right.
He got kids he over just here disrespected the shit out of my house.
Yeah, because there was other parents saying that they'd see him out fucking smoking weed, and his mom was straight like, "Oh no, Tyler wouldn't do
that."
Oh yeah, fucking.
Yeah, he's a good boy.
Tyler, he's a good boy. Like,
yeah, right. So I think, you know, that maybe, you know, you could say the doctor should have predicted this, but I think, you know, it's easy to say that now.
Yeah.
You know, later on, his friends would say he was talking about killing his parents, but nobody really took him seriously.
Nope.
And I don't think anybody would. I mean, I try to put myself in that position of thinking, like, what if one of your friends said that? I mean, people talk shit a lot, especially when you're mad. But nowadays, they look at that stuff differently. Like, when we were younger, like, you you probably wouldn't have said anything because you would have thought he was full of shit, or it's like not any of my business type of shit.
Right.
And whereas nowadays, like, people hear somebody doing anything like that, they're a lot quicker to go report it, which is good. The way we were doing it, not so good, but I think that's one thing, you know, better now that they, you know, a little more reactive to somebody acting out. Because, you know, when I read, like, when we did the West Memphis 3, and I read about Damian Echols, and I think about all the shit he wrote and the poems and the stories, and I'm like,
I did that.
I'll tell you what, I got a fucking notebook in my house of shit I wrote that I guarantee you would have fucking had me in some shrink's office going, what the fuck is wrong with you? But back then, it was like, ha, ha, ha.
Yeah, it was a joke.
Nowadays, or even in Damian Echols' age, holy shit, you know, not so much. So that kind of freaks me out. I mean, you know, you could be one bad thing away from going down that road. You know, they start digging into your writing. And, I mean, Jesus Christ, the three of us listen to metal, and a lot of it's pretty extreme stuff. I mean, you throw all that stuff on top of each other, and they build a case. It's like they did on the West Memphis Three, for fuck's sake. You know, that was awful.
They, some interview with one of, you know, I think one of his friends or whatever, Tyler's, and they were or maybe he was just an acquaintance from school or whatever, but he was saying something along the lines of, yeah, I could have seen him killing small animals or something like that, but no way could I have seen him killing his parents. And it's funny because, as we know, you know, that maybe not technically, but it is kind of a telltale.
Oh, a precursor torturing animals and shit.
Yeah, so to say, I can see him doing that, it's kind of like saying, well, then you might be able
able to see him fucking kill
Yeah, and he also liked to start fires, which he did the couch in the fucking woods.
Went out in the fucking goddamn wildlife preserve with the cows, dumped gas all over it.
Which they got pissed off at him because he was out smoking.
Right.
And they were like, you're going to fucking burn something. And then fucking a couple weeks later, they're like, okay.
Yeah,
burn something. Burn a cow. And then they just fucking chalked it up as a child prank or whatever. Didn't get no fucking
nothing.
Almost burned down the fucking wildlife reserve.
For sure.
Didn't get shit for it.
Right. So pretty crazy shit.
As far as like him talking about killing his parents and shit, like he's always talking about killing himself too and shit.
Right.
Like his best friend, was his name Michael?
Michael.
He's all talked about too when they were younger. He went out to the woods. They went out to the woods, meeting him out in the woods and shit. And he was up in a tree, like tying a bungee cord around his neck, talking about he's going to jump, but he didn't. He fucking started laughing and came down or whatever. So they're like, he was always making fucking jokes about
killing himself, crying wolf thing, so fucking, people don't give him any credit.
Like,
you know?
All the time, yeah.
So it was a Saturday night, 5 p.m. on July 16th, 2011. Tyler's parents took he took the parents' cell phones.
Which is funny because they took his.
I know. I thought the same thing.
Yeah. I mean, for different reasons, obviously. Right. But
he didn't want them to be able to call anybody. Right. He also took their wallet, I think, too, or with the credit card in it. Yeah. So he definitely had this thing planned out, and I had read where he tried to do it days before with some fucking gardening shears.
Like,
what
while they're
fuck?
In their fucking bed sleeping, he walks in there with them and just like, but he didn't do it, obviously, but.
Yeah, he chickened out, but part of it was because he didn't know if he'd be able to stab one without the other one
waking up.
You know, waking up and stopping him.
Right.
So he kind of ruled that one out, but that's kind of fucked up. He opted for the hammer. So there's not much of a defense you could make for that it was
not premeditated.
Impulse, because he planned this shit out.
I mean, he talked to people about it a lot.
Like he was even getting like messages because his parents didn't have his parents had his phone, so he was using Facebook on the computer and shit.
Right.
Talking to his friends, and like his one friend has even said, "Did you do it yet?" He's like, "No, but I'm gonna fucking like straight up at." Making these messages.
Yeah, they were like encouraging it.
Yeah.
Like, man, you ought to do it.
You do it now, man. Like,
fuck.
And you can see all those transcripts online.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, and oh, my God. Reading his fucking text.
I'm
like, is this dude a cousin to Sugar Babe?
I know. And I kind of wondered, like, how the hell could he have that high an IQ and be crushing the SAT and be a complete fucking idiot? Because, I read the messages too.
Yeah, talk about his mom. She's a cunt for show.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a fucking idiot, man. Now, I had also read that he took, 3 ecstasy pills.
Yeah. Because he couldn't do it sober.
Yeah, and I'm not real familiar with ecstasy or anything like that. I Googled it. It says the drug takes effect 30 to 45 minutes after you take it. Of course, known on the streets as Molly. It is a recreational drug that can increase energy, give you an increased sensation as well as pleasure.
Yep.
Now, Joey, I don't know much about illicit drugs like this. Not saying that you do, you know. But what do you know? I mean, what would ecstasy do to somebody in this frame of mind?
I mean, the thing about the ecstasy is I think he took it to completely calm himself. I think he was too nervous, especially.
So you're like vegging on ecstasy then?
Yeah, so I'm thinking his attempt with the, well, and that's the thing, because you can get smacky or speedy ecstasy.
Oh, okay.
So cut with some downers or cut with some uppers.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So it depends on what he's doing, but I'm thinking that he probably, you know, tried the garden cheer, you know, thing in the bed
right
before, and he just couldn't do it
because he was sober and
right, he just didn't have the fucking guts or the nerves, so he had to take the drugs and
kind of deaden it a little bit.
Right. And the thing with ecstasy, if it is a downer, it made him feel better. Yeah, it would probably kill his feelings of regret about what he's doing at the moment, so he could do it easier. And adversely, if it's a speedier drug or that type of ecstasy, it could also fill you with more of a violent rage, which seems to be the case with how many times he struck each individual, I think.
Yeah.
You can see cases of people on ecstasy that get violent off the drug. It's just side effect, and it's also a drug that completely destroys your serotonin. And he had been doing it. I mean, I saw some things that said he had only done it a couple of times. I don't think so either.
I think he'd probably been doing it. A lot of things that said that was one of the main things he was doing.
But that's
at the time.
Man, that shit kills your serotonin, and you'll just fucking be like super down and like easily depressed or angry. Wow. You know what I'm saying? So I can see that being a fucking catalyst.
Okay.
You know, and in the fact, talking also about his premeditation in this, they also said that he waited specifically until his brother went off to college.
Yes, yeah, because he'd only been going to college for like a couple of days or a couple of
weeks.
It was
like a month.
Yeah.
It was like a month, yeah.
Yeah.
So he stands behind his mother holding a 22-ounce framing hammer for 5 fucking minutes while she's working on
like
a computer.
Straight up staring at the back of her fucking head holding his goddamn hammer.
Fucked up, dude. Man. And then to hit her with the hammer in the back of the head 37 fucking times. He continues to hit her. He's hitting her with the blunt end and the claw end, like intermittently. Yeah.
And like we were saying earlier, the autopsy said that she was alive.
She was alive.
Every fucking hit.
Yeah, she was crawling away from him, still coherent. Cannot even imagine that. And then his father hears all the fucking screaming. He comes out of the bedroom. Now imagine this. You come out of the bedroom. Your wife is, you know, her head is a pulp.
Yeah.
And your son is covered in fucking blood holding a fucking hammer. I mean, that's fucked up. And he froze, of course, to his peril, because Tyler fucking came at him
with a fucking hammer.
And this dude's 300 pounds, 6'1". He's a big motherfucker. Tyler's, you know, kind of lanky, but
he's
not
only like 160 pounds.
No match for the old man, but he fucking took it to him with that hammer 39 fucking times, man.
Fucking
holy
brutal.
Shit.
He said that when he was staring, like when he turned, him and his dad made eye contact.
Yeah.
And he just got this fucking evil looking grin on his face and just went at him, dude.
Yeah, and his dad said, why? And he's like, why the fuck
why
not?
The fuck
while
not?
He was fucking
and just
hitting
kept
him.
Screaming at why the fuck not? Fucking, and
what
his mom, that's
fuck?
What his mom was screaming too, like, why, Tyler? Why?
Right.
Fucking, like, but yeah, and
that
he's just going at it with the hammer. Why the fuck not, dude?
That's
so
fucking crazy,
up,
man. That is just crazy. Chris, I cannot even imagine walking into some shit like that. I mean, that's just like a horror show, man.
I feel like that I probably would hopefully react a little differently.
We all would hope that we
would. That I would react differently.
But I think he was frozen place because it was so shocking. And I think Tyler probably just got the upper hand, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Tyler was already in his mode. He knew what he was doing.
Yeah.
And he knew he was going to get his dad next anyway.
Yeah.
Dad just walks in on this.
Yeah, maybe the dad, I don't know that he was, but maybe he was like sleeping or napping or something or doing something that he was distracted and it kind of like just
regardless, you would have to think he was completely caught off guard regardless.
Yeah. Oh yeah, without
way,
a
you
doubt.
Walk in on
well,
that,
you
it's
see
just
that,
like,
you're like, wait a minute, huh?
Is this right.
You're trying to comprehend what's going on.
Right.
He's coming right at you.
Yeah. Or maybe he was trying to go to her aid and not thinking of defending himself. You know, you don't know. So, Joey, I mean, how fucking brutal is hitting your mom 37 times, your dad 39? She's crawling away. They're both asking you why. I mean, that's just very fucked up, man.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, his mind had to be fucking somewhere completely off. And
yeah.
Like I said, I feel, you know, whenever they fucking searched the house after all this shit, they found all the prescription drugs he was on. And
right.
Not to mention the illicit drugs he was doing.
So, right.
Man, I don't think his mind was fucking right at all through any of that shit.
No. No. So after he murders them, he covers their heads with towels. Now, this is interesting because that's what John List did, remember, with the sheets.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think it's that whole doesn't want to look at him, right, you know, wanting to kind of pretend like it didn't happen type thing, or just can't deal with seeing them like that. I'm not sure.
Or maybe
to help hold the fucking blood together. Yeah, their heads together while he was cleaning up.
Probably a little both.
Probably. He drags them into the master bedroom and spends 3 hours cleaning up the blood, which isn't a lot of time for a fucking mess that had to make.
Yeah, and he said that he didn't think it would take that long, though. Like,
right.
Yeah. He's like, I didn't think it would take 3 hours. But yeah, I mean, I think 3 hours is a short amount of time when you're fucking got blood spatter everywhere. Because
you
got
to figure that fucking hammer, I mean, it had to be on the ceiling, on the wall. I mean, just fucking everywhere.
Did you
see?
Go ahead.
This is his pile of what he put on his
parents in the
bedroom. I was
going to say everything that he threw in there, dude.
Broken dishes, shattered glass, bloody towels and pillowcases, a coffee table, a sponge mop, books, Clorox wipes,
Jesus.
And a canister of coffee grounds.
Yeah.
And
he just threw it all on top of his parents. He's like right there, like covered
locked off the room.
Yeah.
Covered That's every, so co- fucked up. Yeah.
Everything that blood on it just said right there on top of him.
That's nuts. So yeah, I mean, he puts him in there and then he posts on fucking Facebook that he's having a party. Cause earlier in the day he was not sure.
Yeah. He's like,
now he's
having
like,
a party.
I'm having
fucking,
one.
He's like,
yeah.
Parents are gone. Fucking let's party it up, bro.
They say at the height of the party, there were like 60 fucking people there. None of these people
like
really is friends.
I heard at the height of it, there was like 100 people.
Really?
Like right at the beginning, it was like 60 or whatever. And then 100 people like,
wow.
Then, as the night got later, fucking running out of beer, fucking go get more beer.
Right, people like, start leaving. They were playing beer pong. I thought it was fucked up because the ball went under something and it got blood on it.
Yeah,
because
the blood.
They rinsed it off and they kept playing. That's fucking nasty,
and
man.
His mom's blood or whatever is coming from underneath the door, and they said it looked like black. Like oil based paint, basically.
Yeah.
And they saw it on the computer.
On the computer, the keyboard, like
that's
a brown
so
gooey shit.
Up.
And it's like his mom's blood and shit.
Yeah.
And then they were just thinking, like, somebody spilled a Coke or some shit.
Right,
on it.
Right.
Like, what the
fuck? Well, yeah, who would think that, right? Yeah. Oh, that's your mom's blood. You know, they're playing beer pong, they're smoking weed, other things that go down at a teenage house party. Tyler had some money out of the ATM to buy drugs and alcohol, picked up a few friends. He's letting people put fucking cigarettes out on the carpet, punch holes in the fucking walls, doesn't give a fuck.
Well, at first he was like, I don't want nobody smoking in the house.
Right,
and
at
then
first.
He fucking just, his whole fucking
yeah,
mind
he was just like, screw it.
Like,
he
fucking
got paranoid because he was like, oh, the neighbor's going to hear him out there.
Yeah.
Like,
and then
get in the house.
Yeah,
it's and then the one
the
kid
house.
Fucking stole the fucking neighbor's
the
mailbox.
Yeah.
And fucking comes in.
He
just
like flipped
raking
out.
Raking fucking goddamn beer bottles and everything. And he didn't care about it. He cared about the fact that they stole the mailbox because he didn't want the cops to come.
Get the cops showing.
He's
up.
Talking about it's a felony and shit.
Right.
It's like, motherfucker,
you just
killed
your mom and dad.
Your parents. You're worried about a fucking mailbox,
right?
Bro?
Exactly.
But I mean, he had a reason to not want the cops.
Of
there.
Course.
So, like, I understand.
Now, Chris, I mean, you wouldn't know anything about having parties like this as a teenager, you know, drugs and alcohol and just wild shit going on. No.
Nope. I'm good. I'm all right. not to that extent, anyway.
Yeah, right. So that night at the party, Tyler tells his best friend, that Michael Mandel, that he killed his parents, and Michael doesn't believe him at first. If you watch the interview with him, you know, he's got that Rush shirt on. He's kind of chill. Pretty crazy stuff. I can't imagine, you know, one of my friends telling me some shit like that after partying all night and probably being pretty fucked up. Mike said that Tyler had told him that, you know, his parents had some money issues, and I only heard that in one place.
I only heard that in one single place.
I saw no other mention of money problems.
I listened to a bunch of shit. I read shit, and there was only one spot. I don't remember.
Yeah, and I don't know what the deal was with that either. So I'm not quite sure.
Because the one spot I heard said they freaking borrowed money from Ryan, their oldest son. And
weird.
Only heard that one time.
Sometimes people, even though they're making good money, they're living outside their means, and maybe that's what happened, or a bad investment. It's hard to say.
Or their son's stealing $11,000.
That's true.
So they're fucking broke.
There's that, right? And the $3,000 you're spending on growth hormone.
Yeah.
So who knows, but he was also upset that his parents had him in rehab. He wasn't allowed to party. They took his phone away. So like you said, Chris, he's using the computer to get on Messenger through Facebook. And Mike believes that it was all this stuff, that maybe caused him to snap. And he told Mike that after he cleaned up the blood and stashed the bodies, he took a shower, looked in the mirror, and laughed.
Yeah, just laughing at himself in the mirror, dude. Well, I mean.
Wow.
Tripping.
I also wonder if his brother, like you guys said, you know, leaving probably, you know, made him want to do this because he didn't have the brother around, you know.
Right.
Who knows? Tyler shows Michael a spot of blood that he missed while cleaning up.
Yeah, that's, and like that's when he starts to believe.
Yeah, he starts believing this shit.
Yeah, because he told him, he's telling him that he fucking killed his parents and he didn't believe him. He's like, look, both of my fucking parents' cars are in the driveway. Where the fuck would they be without one of the cars?
Right. Least.
Like, my car and both their cars are here.
Yeah, and then he's showing him these blood spots, and he's like, oh, my God. And then he takes him into the bedroom.
Yeah.
He sees all the stuff
we
just talked about, all the bloody sheets and the broken picture frames and all that bullshit. But then he sees Tyler's dad's leg, and then he realizes, oh, my God, this is real.
Dude. Yeah.
And he freaks out, knowing that Tyler told him the truth. Tyler told Michael that he planned to kill himself if the police found the bodies. I can't imagine that moment you realize that you've been partying on the other side of the door were two dead people that you knew.
A lot of these kids started getting online saying I was at the party of the fucking year and shit. Like, look, they were fucked, like, fuck man. Yeah, dude.
Well,
like,
Michael, what's he do? He's like, hey, homie.
Yeah, let's get a picture.
I ain't going to see you anymore, so let's get a picture together.
Yeah, they did a selfie.
That picture on Mars is just crazy, dude. He's holding the foot. Like, Tyler's holding the solo cup. That look on his face, dude.
It's
like,
pretty fucked up.
Last picture we all have together. Let's fucking do this. And he hung out with him.
He did. Now, Joey, as many crazy things as you've probably seen in parties and stuff, how does this party rank with you?
That seems like,
is this a meth tune kind of party?
It seemed like it was a dope ass party.
The party itself, seems like it was a fucking goddamn time.
Yeah.
For Tyler, it must have been a super head trip, though.
Yeah,
like,
right.
Like there had to have been times where he was like, "Oh my God, is this what I'm doing right now?"
Right.
Yeah. I mean, there had to be.
Is this really worth it?
I've seen a couple plays too that he was just like hanging out on the tailgate of his dad's truck a lot of the night too.
Oh,
like,
yeah. Well, sure, he was freaking out. Oh, man,
like while the party's going on,
you know, it's fucked up too. Though, it's like, because he was telling people before this about, you know, we were talking about the other text. Yeah, people that are like, so did you do it yet? There were like motherfuckers that knew he was trying to kill his parents or thinking about it,
right?
So all of a sudden, he throws this party. It's in this fucking town where nothing goes on, so everybody's at his party,
right?
Those people that fucking were talking about that earlier, though, where the fuck are they at? They got to know when they're at. Oh, yeah, you are throwing this party. You killed them, motherfuckers. There had to have been a handful of people that
already knew he fucking killed these people. They're in their party and, like, not even asking.
And I didn't see nothing about none of them except for the precursor text that they talked about.
Right.
I never saw anything.
What do you think after that? But, you know, there had to be people there that knew already, like, oh, he fucking did it.
Yeah. Now, at first, Chris, I didn't think Michael went to the police, but I read today in that Rolling Stones article where he did go call Crime Stoppers, or whatever their version of it was.
I think it's fucked up he called Crime Stoppers and not the cops. You know why I think he did that?
To be anonymous, maybe?
That, and Crime Stoppers pays you.
Oh, yeah.
That is possible.
That's true.
Crime Stoppers pays you for shit. If you just call the cops, it's...
Okay, I didn't think about that angle.
And not to mention, I don't think he remained anonymous about it.
I don't think he did either.
So he probably straight up just, you know...
Yeah, I think Crime Stoppers pays you if you fucking turn it... crime shit like that,
right?
So I think that might have been why he did that. It's like, it's very possible. Might as well make some money off of it.
I did read, you know, that word of mouth, of course, got around. So it didn't take long. I heard some 911 calls on YouTube from people that had called the cops about this incident that were at the party. One was from a female. One was from a male. Tyler's arrested at like 4:30 in the morning. The cops show up. Of course, he's hung over as fuck. And you know, cops come in fucking taking your ass out.
And
you
the cops, like, they said that when they got there, they could see inside the fucking house.
Oh, yeah.
And he was like pacing back and forth, grabbing stacks of book and throwing them into the fucking bedroom and shit. They said he did it like, they watched him do it like three times before they knocked on the door and
They were watching him for a little bit just to see what was like going on, you know.
Talking to himself, screaming shit. Yeah. Just, like I said, just throwing stacks of books into the room.
He was talking to his friend about it. Her name was like Kimberly Thieben or something. But in parentheses, her name was K-Nasty.
K-Nasty.
Oh, I saw that. The K-Nasty
thing. I was dying off that.
Like, what's your name? Like, K-Nasty.
Really? I'm 17. I'm K-Nasty.
I thought that was funny, too. Yeah, it definitely seems like he could have been hanging out with Sugar Babe Dude. All those fucking degenerates.
It was
over
probably
there.
The Port of Lucy fucking Crips. You
know? There you go. Oh my God. So God. Cop said he had no fucking, you know, remorse. Didn't
no
give
repent.
A fuck.
No repent. No remorse. No, no repent.
We don't care what it meant.
No remorse. No regret.
Yeah.
They also said that he was planning to have another party. He posted on Facebook.
Party at my house again tonight. Yeah. Like, as he was posting that, the cops were showing up at his house. And shit.
I don't think so, fool. Yeah.
Hit me up.
So Tyler's only 17 at the time of this, only a couple of months from his 18th birthday. Pretty good timing. So he couldn't get the death penalty, but it was a no-brainer to try him as an adult for fucking awful shit that he did. At first, he pled guilty by reason of insanity, but then later changed that to no contest. His brother, Ryan, actually testified against him, said he wanted him to get the max, which was life without parole. And I also read that he sued Tyler to prevent him from inheriting any of the money if he happened to get out at some point.
Yeah, he couldn't get any of the inheritance.
He was like a month till he was 18, right? Or something.
Yeah, so it was close.
Almost 18.
It was very close.
As far as his brother testifying against him, I love you, Michael, but if you kill mom and dad, I'm
fucking... anybody would. I mean, yeah, that's fucked up, man. So I don't blame him at all.
let's use your own gun. All right.
Tyler was found guilty, of course, sentenced to life without parole in 2014, but he appealed that and it was overturned by an appeals judge who thought the lower court, quote, didn't consider the corrective alternative to a life sentence, end quote. I thought that was odd. December of 2018, he was resentenced to two terms of life, but with the possibility of parole. And one article I read said the case would be looked at again in 25 years to determine if life was still appropriate or if parole was possible. I never heard that before. Chris, have you ever heard of something like that where they re-look at it again so many years later? It's a Florida thing. I never heard of that.
It's appropriate for parole? Not that I know of. I've never heard that before, but I'm pretty sure he's fucking there for his fucking life.
I don't
life.
See he this motherfucker ever getting out. I don't either. Now, I don't know if you guys saw this shit on YouTube, but it was so fucking funny.
We started watching it last night.
Justin
I'm like, this guy's
Tooney,
a fucking moron.
Game dog, whatever the fuck he said he was. What a fucking idiot. He said that he was Tyler's cellmate while he was in jail. I actually looked him up on Facebook. He's on Facebook, but he's got a delivery business in Port St. Lucie for cigarettes and alcohol.
Fucking right, dude. That dude's awesome, man.
And you message him through there, and he tells you how much the delivery fee. It's like $20.
Let me get a fucking goddamn case of beer.
So
and
you
pack
PayPal him the money, and then he goes and gets it, brings it to you.
Oh,
I was dying.
If I go there, I'm gonna have him do that.
Definitely,
you should.
Dude. Definitely.
Yeah, if you Google, if you Facebook's do a search on Facebook for his name. For Port St. Lucie, it's the first one that pops up. It's like Justin Tooney's Delivery or something like that is the name of the page.
Definitely do it. I mean,
it's pretty
forward,
funny.
Bro.
If I had more time, I would have tried to message him to see if we can get him on here.
Right.
But He said he was selling, he got busted, Justin Tooney, with a bunch of fucking autographed shit from Tyler.
Yeah, and the way he fucking signed and shit.
Dude, what the fuck? A picture of a hammer, and he signs, "If you're not a fan, you should be. Hammer time."
Hammer time. I'm drawing little pictures of hammers on him and shit, dude. What the fuck, man?
And I mean, just like this Justin Tooney says, like, what? Why would you do that if you're trying for an insanity defense? You know, I mean, what a fucking dumbass.
Right.
The guy speculates that Tyler did it, you know, maybe to get it the insane. I don't know, but it's crazy. He does sell all sorts of, you know, details that he supposedly has. He said that Tyler was telling everybody in jail about his case. He also had some random shit. The one thing about him standing up while he shit. Did you see that?
No, I didn't see that.
He said Tyler had to stand up to shit. I'm like, I've never heard of that. That's fucking crazy. But I'm thinking, and then the other one is he said he always was sucking air dick is how he, like he showed himself like, going like that.
That's fine.
And he says, anybody that knows Tyler knows he does that all the time. Which is crazy. And apparently his nickname was Hambo.
Yeah, like Hammer and Rambo put together, yeah.
So, Joey, how fucked up is that when your cellmate shits standing up? I mean,
I mean,
what do you say to that?
Yeah.
Because I'm thinking it's splashing.
Right.
That's kind of rough.
I mean, maybe
you have diarrhea. I mean, this is
real scared straight, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, this is going to be your cellmate.
Yeah. Like, oh, my God, this is way too weird. Never mind. I repent.
Or the sucking air dick. Yeah. I'm not sure what to make of that. So apparently, though, he gets busted. This Justin Tooney gets busted with a bunch of the signed memorabilia. So that's why he was doing this video, apparently. Because he was trying to say, like, I didn't rat on Tyler. I wasn't, you know, snitch. But yet he's talking about all this autograph stuff. So apparently he was selling it for him. Because, you know, you can't sell it in profit because it's right, son of Sam laws,
yeah.
So I don't know. But he's at the same time, he's pitching this story he supposedly has that no one else has. So it's hard to really believe him. He's trying to talk about that he's going to write a book. I can't imagine this guy writing a sentence, let alone a book.
Right.
Maybe I should hit him up and write the book for him. Wanting to be on a TV show. And also, he's pitching this YouTube channel with this game dog, whatever the fuck shit he was talking about. So, I don't know what to make of this guy. He made me laugh. It was just funny. It reminded me of the Sugar Babe with the, you know, Crip blood and these fucking white dudes thinking they're like gangbangers and shit. It's pretty ridiculous. Very hard to know what's true and what's bullshit with this guy. So, I don't know, but it was funny.
Yeah.
Tyler is currently incarcerated at the Okeechobee Correctional Institution, so he's still locked up.
Like I said, he ain't getting out.
Yeah, he's not getting out. He did get his sentence, like we said, you know, from life without parole, so at least has an opportunity to get out. But like you, I don't see it, Chris, at all with this guy.
Nope, not at all. Don't see it.
Anything to add to this one, guys? Anything I didn't cover or something? Because I know you guys did a lot of looking at this, too.
I just want to say, I thought it was funny when he was in school. You know how he always fucking trying to get attention and doing weird shit.
Oh, yeah.
The one thing when he was in biology class and they said he just started mooing like a cow out of fucking nowhere. Just sitting there in class fucking, like, what the fuck,
dude? And they compared him to Dahmer, how Dahmer was kind of the class clown.
How he acted out in school and shit.
Yeah. Yep.
Two things.
Very interesting.
Two things I thought was weird with the case. I mean, no, they're not even nothing big, but one was they said that before he killed his parents that he was sitting in his house all day listening to Lil Boosie.
Lil Boosie,
Feel Lucky. Like, that was his cut. He just kept fucking
jamming it all day. Like, what?
And then another thing I thought was wild, they were talking about when poor Lucy first, you know, they said the contractors that bought the land or whatever.
Right.
And I think it was like three people or whatever. They bought the land and plotted it out. But back then, when they put the homes on it,
$10
down, $10 a month for life.
I saw that.
But that's what you paid.
Yeah.
You walked in, $10 down, you got a house. 10 bucks a month, and you're paying it for the rest of your life. But
$10. That'd be fucking fire, bro.
Did you see, too, where they it was happening so fast, they were naming the streets, and they're all misspelled.
Oh, really? I didn't see that.
They had a bunch of the street names, like Galaxy was spelled wrong.
I did see that. That's,
there was, like, all sorts of names that they misspelled. Like, what did they have? Like, who the fuck was filling out the paper? Work, you couldn't have found somebody with a fucking dictionary
knows how to fucking write,
or
Jesus.
A phone or some way to look the shit up. Yeah, all these street names are all misspelled.
All stupid.
They said before that, before that stock market crash, because basically, like, whenever they built the retirement center, like, fuck, there was nobody in that fucking place.
Oh, yeah.
And that,
it grew really quick.
And it became the biggest, like, the fastest growing city in the United States for a while before the crash.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a very thriving area.
But obviously
area.
Nothing for fucking teenagers to do. Cause.
I guess not. You know, you got bingo and fucking all sorts of doctor's offices probably.
Oh, my God. Did you see that list of what was there? It was like you were saying, like the bingo halls, fucking. It was everything.
Churches,
elderly.
Doctor, right.
Like, they made it specifically. Like,
family restaurants with an early bird special.
Yeah. But then they said after that boom happened, it was fucked up because a third of the population there was under 24.
That's right.
So then you got all these fucking young people with nothing to
nothing
do.
Right. Growing some dope.
Yep.
Yeah. Let's grow some weed, man. So, yeah. So it is definitely a good one. Good suggestion, Chris. We'll see if he can outdo Gary Plouchet's numbers. So next time, though, we're going to feature some spree killers, man.
Hell,
this should be pretty wild. Some good spree
insane.
Killer shit. I think we'll talk about several different cases, some you've heard, some you have not heard of. We did that great interview, Chris, with Dr. Catherine Ramsland.
Yes.
It was awesome. We asked her quite a few
about
questions. Yeah.
She goes into pretty fucking good detail about it, too.
Yeah, and she's very knowledgeable, so that'll be a big part of the next episode is that interview with Dr. Ramsland. She's a professor of forensic psychology. If you've ever watched a true crime documentary, she's on it.
Shit, she's more
she's
than likely
on a
on
ton
it.
Of those fucking things. And now that you know that, next one you watch, you'll see.
Yeah.
It's either her or Helen Morrison, Dr. Helen Morrison, who's Gacy's psychiatrist.
Yep.
Those two are the two that are on every one of them. One of the two. It is pretty funny. We should do a killer cage match, maybe. Dr. Ramsland versus Dr. Morrison.
Holy shit.
Dr. Morrison, Gacy psychiatrist, she's the one that owns his brain.
Yeah.
That
Borowski documentary, Gacy's Brain, where she's got the brain in a jar on camera while she's talking. It's like sitting right in front of her. It's pretty
That'd
fucked
be
up.
Fucking crazy, dude.
Said she took it on the L. to come to that interview. Yeah, she had it like obviously in like
a bag
or something.
Yeah.
That's fucked up.
Could you imagine fucking if she
dropped it?
You're sitting there on the goddamn
this brain
train,
fucking like, slide down. That's Gacy's brain, man. Oh, wow.
He's loose again.
So, anyway, that should be a good one. Some spree killers. We'll talk next week with Dr. Ramsland and you'll hear all that stuff. So, anyway, I hear that music. In the background, I think we know who it is. It's CK, that great metal motherfucker.
Yes, sir. So
let's... Joey, what do we got to do, brother?
We need to get our metal on.
Known the world over as the master of metal, the crusher of posers, and Murder Metal Mayhem's knower of all things metal, hailing from Wild Van Street in Danbury, Connecticut, standing at 6 feet of brutal, punishing madness, weighing in at 220 pounds of poser pulverization, the one, the only, toughest bastard on the planet, Chris C.K. Kovacs!
There he is, Chris C.K. What's
going
on,
C.K.? How's it going over there on fucking Wild Man Street?
What's going on, brothers?
Fuck.
Throwing down over here talking about Hammer Smash Parents and all that kind of stuff. Wow. Pretty disturbing. Feel like I need to take like 3 showers after talking about that story.
You mean 3 ecstasy pills?
sounds pretty fucked up.
Yeah. And I'm not going to, Chris, after I take a shower, look in the bathroom mirror and smile and laugh at myself like he did.
Come on, man.
Pretty fucked up. So, anyway, CK, good to have you on. We are in metal right now, and we got Joey Gormonger here with us, as always.
Here.
With a little Putrid Pile shirt on.
Yeah.
Fucking A.
Hanging out with us, talking some stuff.
Super excited about CK's band of choice tonight.
Yes, yes. We definitely are looking forward to this one, CK. So, who's... who's the choice of band this week?
Well, I did this because I know Joey digs this band a lot, too. So,
oh, yeah.
Right.
We're doing Nuclear Assault.
Fuck, yeah.
Old fucking school there, boy.
Old fucking school crossover thrash from New York City. So another classic band that I loved when I was a kid and still love to this day. And I still jam these guys every so often. They were formed kind of out of the... Well, Dan Lilker was... He used to be an Anthrax. He was either kicked out or he left. There's some just as far as whose story is right. He says he got kicked out. Anthrax says he left. Either way... He wanted to eventually form something that was more faster and more of a crossover thing anyway. Because Dan Lilker is always, any band he's ever done is has to be more extreme than the band he was in before. And he decided to form Nuclear Assault with John Connolly, who was in Anthrax at one time and was also a roadie for Anthrax.
I love it when roadies go from roadie to member. That's awesome shit, dude.
Yeah, that is cool.
But they formed from, you know, kind of out of Anthrax. And I'll just give you the classic lineup, which was Lilker, Connolly, Glenn Evans, and Anthony Bramante. That was basically the lineup that recorded the first album. But before the first album came out, they actually had a single. I think it was for the song Brain Death before the album came out. And I remember seeing the single, the 12-inch single at I think it was Wrecking World. And I remember hearing about Nuclear Assault. And it wasn't the full length. I think it said the single from the forthcoming full length or whatever.
Huh.
So I bought it. And it had three songs. It had Brain Death on side A and two other songs on side B. But once I heard Brain Death, I was hooked. It was different than Anthrax. It was different than anything else in as far as the New York city thrash scene. 'Cause Connolly's voice, he's another one of those guys who has a very distinctive voice.
Right.
When you hear him sing, you know it's him. Whether it's his solo band or Nuclear Assault, you knew it was him. And they put out, I think the first album came out in 1986, Game Over. And that did really well. It was on Combat Records. Combat signed him to a multi-record deal at the time. And it had some classic tunes. It had Sin, Cold Steel, Radiation Sickness, Hang the Pope, Vengeance, and Brain Death, among other tunes. And the album did pretty well. I remember seeing them on this tour. I can't remember who they opened up for, but they did open up for somebody.
That's cool. And you got to see them on that tour. Fuck.
Yeah, that's badass.
I wish I could remember who they opened up for. I can't.
Where did you see them at, Chris? Or CK?
Oh, God. Had to be probably West Hartford Ballroom.
Because I'm trying to think. I think I remembered going to see them, too, but I don't remember where it was at. I could be wrong.
I can't remember. I'm pretty sure it was West Hartford Ballroom.
Okay.
And I think the band before them was Gangrene.
Oh, man, I fucking love them, too.
Yeah.
Tang Records.
Yeah. Then eventually they were on Roadrunner. They kicked ass. I still love them to this day.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, Nuclear Assault put out that first album. It was definitely a gas album. The only issue was kind of had a thin sound because it was produced by Alex Perialis. And he produced a lot of like early metal stuff. He was basically one of the house producers of Combat, and a lot of his stuff he produced was thin sounding for some reason.
Yeah. He was like the Metal Blades Bill Metoyer who recorded that shit.
Yeah, but for some reason, a lot of his stuff, when he produced it, was kind of had a thin-sounding guitar at times, or just a shit production. So the album suffered from not that great production, but it was a kick-ass album regardless. The album did so well, and at the time, the band was doing so well that they actually signed for to IRS for the second album. And I believe it or not, the person who signed him was Stuart Copeland's brother from The Police.
Oh, wow.
Because I think he either was part owner of IRS or had something to do with it.
So they're working for the cops.
Different police.
Oh, my bad.
But the second album, Survive, came out in 88. And that was a step above... Game Over, definitely. And they did a fucking awesome cover of
Good Times, Bad Times.
Yeah, Good Times, Bad Times by cool. Led Zeppelin. And I remember seeing them live on this tour too, and they did that song.
Fuck yes.
Live, and it kicked ass. But that song had a better production. It was produced by Randy Burns, who was a better producer in my opinion. And it was Miles Copeland who signed him, and who also executive produced the album. But after that album was a year later, and they came out with Handle With Care really quick. And it was on a new label called In Effect Records, and this came out, God, like literally within a year of Survive. And it was just as good as Survive, and usually when bands rush an album like that, it's usually not as good, or the quality suffers. Or the songwriting suffers.
Yeah, something gives usually when it's rushed. Yeah,
but this album was really, really well written, great songs. Probably my favorite album by them, still to this day. At this point, things were getting a little disjointed within the band. John Connolly was starting to do he had a side project called John Connolly's Theory. Glenn Evans had a side project, CIA. And Dan Lilker was just doing different stuff altogether. So the album after that, which was... oh, crap, what was it called? It was...
Come on, Out of Order. CK.
Yeah,
Out of Order. Out of Order 2 years later.
That's also probably my most forgettable album of theirs, unfortunately.
Yeah, it just
I'm out of order. You're out of order. This whole fucking courtroom is out of order. I had to do it, sorry.
But like Goremonger said, it was a forgetful album, and it was a half-assed album at best. And I thought they were pretty much done after that album. And 93, out of nowhere, Something Wicked popped up. I bought it, and I wasn't really expecting too much from it. And pleasantly surprised how good it really was.
Yeah, I really like that one.
That's cool.
And the weird thing is, it was on IRS Records. So they went from having Survive on IRS to the next two albums on independent labels, back on IRS Records.
Hmm.
Which I don't understand, but at this point, it was a different band. It was Connolly on vocals and guitar. Lilker was out. He was doing Brutal Truth at the time.
I like Brutal Truth.
Yeah,
I love him too. But like I said, it seems like Lilker's got to do he leaves one band, he's got to be a little bit more extreme than the previous band he was in.
Right.
And Brood of Truth was a lot more extreme than...
Way.
You know, Nuclear Assault. But Anthony Bramante left, so it only left Connolly and Glenn Evans as original members. And the album was really good, and like I said, I was pleasantly surprised by it. And I saw them, I remember seeing them on this tour too. I forget who they opened up for, but they were tight live, and they're probably like the tightest I've ever seen them as far as seeing a live band, as far as seeing them live,
right?
And you know, after that, they pretty much broke up until 2005. Right before that, they got back together and put out a live album. I think it was called Alive Again, and that was 2003. Really good live album.
That's cool.
And pretty much the band of Lilker, Connolly, Bramante, and Evans came back together. Recorded that Third World Genocide in 2005. Definitely a great album. Not as good as I would say Survive or Handle with Care or Game Over or Something Wicked, but 2005 it came out of nowhere, and it was actually a surprise. It was good to hear that they were back together again.
Right. Yeah, especially, you know, when it's up to par. You know, you hate to see bands make a comeback, and it's like, why? You know, why didn't just leave it the way it was? You know, and it kind of ruins it in a way. But that's cool that they kept up that intensity. It's not easy to do as you get older.
No, and by this time they're probably in their 40s, and
right,
you know, the landscape of metal was changing, and they pretty much stuck to their thrash guns and released a thrash album, and they were on again and off again until like 2012. 2015 they put out a 4-song EP called Pounder.
That's what I do.
Speaking all of two that.
All 2 inches of it.
Yeah, boy.
And that was, you know, 3/4 of the well-known band. The only person who was on it was Anthony Bramante. They brought in some dude named Eric Burke on guitar, but it was Connolly, Lilker, and Evans. And supposedly they're still together, and there's supposed to be a full-length album after this. But as far as right now, there's nothing by him, but supposedly they're still together, and you know, a lot of their stuff is still available on CD. I think everything's available on streaming platforms except Survive. I didn't see Survive on either Apple Music or Google Play, or I think it's on. You could probably find it on YouTube, but
yeah, right now
Google
Play is actually pretty much converted to YouTube now. I just got a thing popped up on my phone yesterday that my music library, which I don't really use much, but anyway, it's like, oh, it's been now converted to YouTube Music, and everything just switches over, and then I just had to download the app and then open it, and I'm now, that's my new music player is YouTube Music. Yeah,
no shit.
Yeah, but my Google Play,
I mean, I don't have
money,
a Google
goes to it. Just to wash, it's the same price and everything.
Yeah,
the
it's the same company, Google. Yeah. Google and
merged
YouTube
with YouTube,
yeah.
Which is actually kind of convenient because I use YouTube a lot for videos. Yeah. So now I got one source for both, which is really kind of cool. So it's fine with me. It seems fine. The app. I mean, I searched a couple of things. I searched Low 12, and it was kind of cool just to see it on there. And I searched Decapitated because I've been jamming them lately, and everything was there. I mean, it was like, all right, I think I can dig this, you know. So it's pretty sweet.
Yeah, I went on it. It's pretty much the same thing.
Yeah.
But you know, I usually go to Apple Music for the majority of if I stream anything.
Right.
I go to Apple Music, but
that's cool.
It's on there. You definitely check them out.
You know what else I'll say about Nuclear Assault too is at a time whenever I was growing up, I didn't used to be big into live albums. Only a few of them, like Live Undead. And,
right. You know, there's only a few.
Right. But Hammersmith live at the Hammersmith, or I'm sorry, Nuclear Assault live at Hammersmith Odeon.
Yeah, it's a good live album.
Amazing. Yeah, I love that live
album. I'll have to check that out.
Yeah, it's a really
good
one.
And that's one of the few live albums that Combat put out that was actually endorsed by the band.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Because a lot of live albums around that time, like Death Angel.
Yeah, the band didn't want it on there.
Yeah, there was a lot of live albums that came out around that time.
Yeah, that's how Live At Last was for Black Sabbath, I remember. They talked about how there was some bootleg.
Just the label,
like, what
put
the
it
fuck?
Out.
You know, like, why did you release that? You know, it sounds like shit.
Yeah, that. And it does even have Iron Man on it, which is weird.
Of
and
course.
It's like deep cuts from Black Sabbath.
It's an odd one. Yeah. But very cool, dude. What about you got a good
Lost Class.
Lost Class. We've got Michael, here, Chris's brother's all about this band. So definitely want to try. I dig them too. I've seen them live. Sure. They're fucking wicked as hell.
Pissing Razors, the self-titled, which actually is their second. It's actually their second album. They did have an album before that, which I think was basically a demo that they put out on CD. They self-released. But self-titles is the first official...
like full-length?
Yeah. And I was actually late getting into this band. I didn't get into them until a couple years after that album came out.
Okay.
Because I just saw the name Pissing Razors. I was like, it's probably some fucking... new metal band that fucking I'm gonna fucking hate.
Yeah, I heard about them through Propane, because when we were jamming with Propane, they were talking about them and talking them up big time, and then I went and checked them out. I'm like, holy shit! And then I saw them open for somebody, and they were fucking amazing, man. They're really good.
Yeah, that and I listened to them. I was like, this band ain't what I thought it was, and
right.
You know, I've been into them ever since.
Hey, Michael, where'd they play when you saw them?
Somewhere up in Iowa, I want to see.
Yeah, I don't remember. I remember it being on the radio, like some advertisement, and they had to say urinating razors over the radio.
Oh,
shit.
That's funny.
I was just like, come on,
urinating
man.
Razors.
I remember that shit. That's funny. Urinating razors.
Even the radio station here said crotch ripper, remember?
Yeah, I do, yeah.
That was funny, so.
That's funny.
It's fucking hilarious.
But, as far as Pissing Razors, I think they're back together in some form.
Yeah, I think I saw they were recording or getting ready to record or something.
They're actually having trouble getting a label, I guess, right now.
And there's something about them. They have a Texas fucking sound to them, too.
Yeah.
Like, there's something weird about it that just sounds like, okay.
Yeah.
They're badass. I love them.
Yeah, I dig them, too. All right, well, that's awesome, CK. Now, Chris and Joey, you guys took a little road trip this past weekend.
We did.
Anxious to hear how that all went and what that was all about. Joey, what were you guys going to do?
I went up to South Dakota to Sioux Falls. They were doing Slam Dakota 3.
Fuck yeah, Les putting down. She's fucking badass about it.
Yep, the promoter, Les, and she works at the bar, the Biggs Bar in Sioux Falls. Really, really awesome place.
Dude, cool. It was a sweet fucking venue, bro.
Yeah, but it was two nights. First night was 5 bands. Second day, I think, was 10. And she had it set up really nice. So the first night, all 5 bands played inside. Second day, they alternated outside stage and inside stage.
Okay.
Until the last couple headliners.
Yeah, the final 3 bands all played inside.
But they had, like, there were some really good bands, like Cheap Porno Flick, which is my buddy Ben, which is the first time I ever met him in person, which was cool. Virial and Excision, which is Miguel's band, who does Chicago Domination.
Deterioration,
Fest.
Man. Deterioration. Oh, my fuck, dude. Those guys were so bad.
Two bands, just straight grindcore.
Just fucking phenomenal.
And
bro.
I've been doing shows with them since 2007, so that was really cool.
Yeah.
Carnographer, that was my favorite band there. And then Abolishment of Flesh from Texas.
I've seen them before.
And then you got Jake, the bassist for Lividities. They're bassist and front man when they play.
Dude, it was so fucking sick, man.
Yeah. So anyway, a lot of good bands.
Met a lot of cool people.
Yeah, met a lot of cool people. It was just a really good time. No fights. South Dakota is open, so it was like, you know, we were still social distancing, but
right. Like a lot, like I said, a lot of the show was outside anyway, so it was fucking open air and shit.
That's cool.
But it was just really, really a good time. I mean, I told her, I was like, even if I'm not on the bill, I would probably come back up to this.
Come back to South. Yeah. As Cash would say, come back to San Diego.
Yeah, I kept saying San Diego.
Instead of South Dakota, he kept on saying San Diego. Dude. It was like,
a little bit of a difference there, just a little
but,
bit.
I'll tell you one funny thing. Chris might be able to help me tell it a little better, but on our way up there, Chris is wearing the Gormonger Crop Chaser hat, which has a big weed leaf on it.
Oh, my God, dude.
And it says, where's the bud and all this shit. Jason, you know, Murder Machine Clothing made them.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
But so we're sitting there eating. And
we're eating Arby's and shit.
And this is, it's funny because this is literally the first time I've sat in a fast food restaurant eating in fucking four months. Like,
and we were talking about it, like, what the fuck?
Yeah, yeah. Like, it was just kind of weird, you know, like, sitting like, there.
We're like in the middle of Iowa and shit, too.
So, like, this really old dude and this old lady come up. And,
they were eating at the table, like, across from us, and after they threw their shit away.
Yeah, and they just fucking walk straight up to our table, and, like, the old man's just standing there in front of our table, and we're like, oh, shit. And I can't remember. He
looks at me and he's like, I remember back in the day when people just walk up to you and be like trying to sell you some stuff.
Because he was a truck driver.
Because he was a truck driver. Yeah. And he's got the pot leaf on the side of the hat shit. So he was like, we used to get this freaking blonde.
Redhead Sensibilia.
Yeah, redheaded Sensibilia. He just starts talking about fucking weed. And he's like, I just can't do it no more because I got to drive this truck.
Yeah.
It's just like, he's just like out of nowhere. He's like, I remember. We're just like, what the fuck just happened, bro?
Yeah,
that's pretty funny.
It was awesome as fuck.
That's funny. That's cool, man, though. And then how did your set go, dude?
Hey, my set went fine.
How many songs did you do?
Oh, shit. I probably did like 10.
Yeah, something like that. I went the first two songs live on the page.
Yeah, that was really cool.
The first two that you did was...
Two Skanks, Some Dank, Two Skanks, and Dank, Some Nitrous Tank, and Cripples.
Cripples.
Yeah.
And then I did the last song, Crop Chaser. They put him live on the page that day. So
that was awesome.
It was cool, man.
That was really cool.
But his set was amazing, dude. I was at, like, people fucking enjoyed the shit out of it.
That's awesome.
Like, there was people getting it fucking, especially with his song titles and shit. Motherfuckers are like, oh, my fuck.
Yeah. But, I mean, like, the sound guys, the
sound
bar,
guys were amazing.
Yeah, everything was amazing. Dude. They took care of everybody so well.
So
that's good to hear, man.
The sound guy shit was fun. The indoor sound guy, his shit was awesome, man. He was like able to fucking, like, when he's like setting the bands up, doing sound checks, like on his phone, setting the levels off his phone. So he's up on stage with them at the monitors, hearing it with them. And then he's able to stand in the middle of the fucking floor and be able to hear it out there and just do it, checking the levels on his phone and adjusting them.
It was
the first time I'd ever personally seen anything like that.
And the guy that did the sound outside, which is where I played, used to be the sound guy for like Origin and Defeated Sanity.
Oh, yeah.
Some pretty big bands.
Oh,
he knew what he was doing. I was like, okay,
that's awesome. Really
it was a fucking good fucking time.
That's
man.
Awesome, man. Very,
our
very
homeboy
cool.
Our homeboy Squatch went out there. Fucking,
yeah, I've seen that. That's cool.
He was nice enough to hook us up. He'd gotten an Airbnb. So he's like, hey, you guys just come crash with me in this fucking house. We're like, fuck yeah, dude.
That's awesome.
And, so,
and there was no dead bodies in the bedroom.
Not that we saw. Right, not that
good.
We saw.
That's good. Now, speaking of dead bodies and just crazy shit, that 666 Club, we've talked about it before, but we got a special announcement tonight.
Uh-oh.
Now, you're stuck inside, and what, you know, better time than now to join this 666 Club by going to patreon.com/murdermetalmayhem, and we'll have a link to that, of course, in the episode description. But for $3 a month, that's nothing. You're going to get some really good bonus content, VIP access to the show, and we are going to announce tonight, we've been talking about this, we're going to do a very special bonus episode, Chris.
Patreon only.
Only for those 666 Club members, Patreon only, as you said.
We might put it out, but it'll be a couple years, so...
It might be a while. So you definitely want to join in. Joey, I know this is a near and dear serial killer to your heart, but what are we going to do for the feature?
Doing Jeffrey Dahmer.
Yeah, fuck yeah. Yep. It's going to be an entire Dahmer episode, so there will be no standard murder, metal, and mayhem segments. It's going to be all Dahmer. I'm going to see if we can get Bob Weiss from Shakers to do an interview with us.
Yeah.
Possibly even John Borowski, who's written a book about Dahmer. So we're going to really blow it out. And The only way they'll be able to hear it is by joining that 666 club.
And
so
and now you got to think about it this way. It's like, okay, you want to hear the Dahmer? That's worth $3 right there. Then
that's
you're
right.
going to get all the other stuff.
Yeah,
because
you're going to get the episodes a day early, the notes to the show, the schedule for the month at the beginning of the month.
That
so
way
you know
what
we're going to do. And then you get the karaoke songs as soon as they're recorded. You get 10% off merch and bonus content like what we're just talking about now.
Fuck yeah.
So you got to join that shit. And
might even send you a six pack of beer.
I don't know about that.
I'm just kidding. No,
yeah,
I'm just kidding.
Yeah, right. So, yeah, so check it out, guys. It helps support the show. All right. We've got that 2 minutes to CK segment live.
2 minutes to CK.
Yeah, it's funny when I hear that intro I did for you because I'm like, oh, wow, that sounds kind of ridiculous, but it's cool. But no, the 2 minutes to CK, your live segment, CK, on Thursday, and we decided to change the time a little bit just because
people working.
Yeah.
Maybe not home yet, and you maybe missing some audience there. So what time are you going to start doing those now?
I'm going to do it on still on Thursdays, but I'm going to do it at 6:30.
Okay.
Eastern time or Central time?
Eastern.
Okay,
so 5:30.
Yep. So 5:30, yeah.
Which I think is a good time,
better time than
3.
Especially like a lot of people get off work at 5, they're in their car.
Yeah, for sure.
Because I keep forgetting that a lot of listeners are Central time. So
yeah, and working too.
Yeah.
You know,
so it's 4:20, you know, in Connecticut, but it's 3:20 for you guys.
Right, yeah. Right. So that's cool. And then I'm going to do something different with my Friday segment, doing mine a little bit later. But I haven't come up with an exact way I'm doing that yet. So for now, it'll still be at 4:20 on Fridays. But I'm going to probably be doing mine a little bit later, too. So we'd like to have consistency, but it's got to work with people's schedules and stuff. And that's where the trickiness comes in. So anyway, very cool. Any other metal news, CK? Anything we need to cover? Anything at all we didn't already touch on?
No, nothing. Really. I'll tell you one thing. I've been listening to a lot of Accept lately.
Me too, dude. I actually listened to Metal Heart today, and I listened to some of Balls to the Wall the day before. So, yeah, I've been jamming that shit.
Fuck yeah.
What and about you, Chris? What have you been listening to?
Whatever we were listening to in the car on the way to South Dakota back, man.
Yeah.
We listened to a lot of shit. Man, it's a mixture of shit. Like
some Barry Manilow and stuff.
Yeah. I mean, fucking Guns N' Roses Appetite for Destruction, though. He's killing that. I love that shit. Fucking,
that's good driving music.
Cashman got that shit coming up, don't you, Cashman? The Anarga.
Yeah. Yeah, we do have we got a local show set up around here. So, like, for all the Bloomington listeners and all that, August 22nd in Anarga is for Cooper's birthday. Stephen Cooper, he's the bassist for Treachery Untold. But it's going to be Chalk, Blood Feud, Goremonger, Treachery Untold, Indulge Devour, and Interspecies Erotica. So, pretty good lineup. So, that's August 22nd here.
In Anarga, Illinois.
Yeah,
man.
In Anarga, Illinois.
Okay.
It's kind of curious because, you know, with my Heart of Illinois show, I'm trying to figure out, because I really want to do that shit, but
I know.
Shit's just so weird right now.
I know.
So going to do this show, that's going to be a pretty good experiment and seeing, you know.
Right.
How shit's going to go.
Yeah.
Right. That's a good idea.
And it's at what, Home Plate? Is that
the name
it's
at
the
Home
bar?
Plate in Anarga, and I'm also going to look into possibly talking to them just to be like, hey, if I have any issues,
right.
What about if I come do something here and bring y'all some money, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. It's a good idea.
Yeah.
All right. Well, very good. I think we've educated the masses on some metal tonight. So, CK, what the fuck do we need to do?
We're going to get our mayhem on.
I always thought you were my friend, but it seems that in the end, you're a backstabbing boy. I always trusted you with me. I'm a business of the sea. You're a backstabbing boy.
Hi, and thanks for calling Starkweather Mass Murder Getaways. Would you like to hear about our summer special?
Hi, I got this brochure in the mail. It's got a $10 coupon for a getaway. I'd like to set something up for me and my wife. Wait, did you say mass murder?
Yes, that's right. You can use the coupon for one of our getaways. You and your wife would love this special mass murder getaway. We'll arm you with a trunk full of guns, knives, and other weapons. You just get on the road and kill along the route we planned for you. You have to kill as many people as possible before you run out of a tank of gas. It's a wonderful romantic getaway. The couple that kills the most gets a free getaway next time.
What? You're joking, right?
Middle America is waiting, sir. Waiting for you to slash their collective necks. Let me book a getaway for you and your wife today.
Fuck yeah, man. CK, proving you're multi-talented, man. You're doing some voiceover work in the Starkweather commercial with my wife, Jenny, doing the receptionist voice there. Pretty so good stuff. And, of course, before that, though, some fucking nuclear assault with the song Betrayal. Just fucking... Wow, brings back a lot of memories hearing that, man.
No,
you cannot. So good stuff, and of course we are in Mayhem, and Mayhem brings with it, Chris, a lot of crazy shit.
Yeah, and maybe funny stories. Murdering band members. Mayhem, murdering.
That's
band.
True. That's right. That's right. We did talk about that yes, one we time. Did. Joey, God, you said you had a story to tell us, didn't you?
I do have a story, and it's funny because I was trying to think I just told this to somebody recently. I was trying to figure it out. And Michael's like, you told it on the video. And he's like, what?
What?
I ain't going to lie. No, but I love Disturbed. but anyway, I think the live Murder Metal Mayhem video we did when we was up in South Dakota, I think I told this before one of my songs. And,
oh, okay.
But no, so what happened was I got asked to play this show with this band down at Texas Hell Society, and like it was I was new to the scene and shit, so I didn't really know anybody like that. So these guys put me on. It's cool, but it was at this Hatchet and Craven haunted house down in Denison, Texas, and it's fucking cool. It was a fucking old ass fucking barn and shit. It was a really cool spot for the haunted house.
Awesome,
oh,
dude.
Fucking super sweet.
Nice.
So they had, like, this fucking whole room set up with, like, all these fucking evil clowns and all that shit. It was neat. So I get out there, and I'm playing, and they got the radio station there and, you know, set up, broadcasting.
Right.
It's me, two of my friends, and I get up there on stage. And
doing your thing.
Yeah, doing my thing. And, I mean, you know, I never, ever, ever claim my music to be for anything but for adults. You know what I'm saying?
Right,
like,
right.
Of course. My shit's offensive as hell, and especially, like, back then. This is, like... 2007 or something like that, 2008, and back then, like, I was even less fucks given, you know?
Right, don't give a shit about nothing.
But I get up on this stage, and, you know, I'm looking out in the crowd. All it is a bunch of fucking toddlers and kids.
Oh, my God.
I'm like, where are all these fucking the band that, like, the headline, I mean, I'm Goremonger, and the band that was headline was Hell Society.
Right.
So it's not like, you know, you're mistaken what you're seeing. And I'm just like, man, what the hell is going on? So as my show is going on, and I'm playing for these kids, you know, and there's, like, fucking evil clowns coming out behind me. From the, and they're dancing with me while I'm
oh,
like,
my God.
It was pretty fucking cool. But
that's funny.
It was just tripping me out. But so every time, like, one of my samples would come up, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm trying to, like, growl and yell shit over
the
mic.
Over
the
sample.
To muffle all that shit. Right. And so I'm just like, Jesus Christ. So I'm like, I finally make it through this set, you know, and these kids are dancing in front of me in their costumes and shit.
Oh, that's
hilarious. They're having a blast. But I'm just like, what the shit? And so I finally get done. I'm like, okay, this is my last song, and I'm done, right? The fucking, I don't remember who it was, like somebody comes up to me and they're just like, hey, do you think you could play one more song? And I'm just like, what the fuck?
Wow.
I'm like, are you serious? So I'm like, okay, I'll play one more. And so I play my song Juicy Horgasm. And this song is just nonstop porno sample through the whole thing.
Oh,
of this
wow.
girl fucking herself and shit, you know?
Wow.
So as soon as I start this, like as soon as the intro sample kicks on, my two friends, I see them towards the back, they just start backing up out of this place.
Like,
they're like, fuck this.
Out.
And I just point at all the kids and I'm like, this one goes out to all of you. And it was just so fucking funny. And I rocked the shit out of that song and fucking jacket, and once I was done, I just packed up and left. Like, I didn't even watch the other bands.
Dude,
like,
that's great.
I was just done. And wow. I remember hearing, like, a couple people, they're like, dude, I heard you. They were playing you on the radio.
That's funny.
Yeah, but to me, to this day, that goes down as one of the weirdest sets.
Yeah. Oh, I bet, dude. Like, it's Gormonger playing for a bunch of fucking kids.
There was literally just no parents around. Like, where the that's fuck funny. Were they? You know, that's
I had up. A, not quite the same, but it's in low 12, we played up at Chicago for the first time, and anybody from downstate Illinois in a band, you know, you look to Chicago as like, man, that's like cool, Mecca. You know, like that's big time, you know, you're playing in Chicago. So we get to we get this spot on this, it was mostly like a death metal type fest, so not totally our thing, but, you know, we played with death metal bands a lot, and so they had us playing first. And so we got up there, and it's like all these dudes in the front, you know, you could see like Dying Fetus shirts,
right.
Death, you know, Slayer. I mean, like dudes that are, no, Slayer's not death metal, but you know what I'm saying. I mean,
straight death metal dudes.
These are guys that are like really wanting to hear heavy, heavy stuff. And so we get up there and we play it. I don't remember what song we opened with, but they weren't like really doing much, you know. So I'm just like, oh, man, you know, and I had my fucking tampons there that I used to throw
around. Right, I remember.
And so we finished the first song, and instead of going right into the next song, I was like, man, we're from Bloomington, Illinois. We're low 12. And I said, I thought everybody up here in Chicago is supposed to be so fucking badass. You guys look like a bunch of fucking pussies standing there. And I remember Tim said afterward, he's like, dude, I looked over at you like, are you fucking out of your mind? We're going to die up here. And I remember I pulled a tampon out of the back of my pocket and threw it at this dude in front of me, and it hit him right in the forehead. And I'm like, either we're all going to die or this shit's going to get fucking nuts. And it went nuts,
it
dude.
It was fucking crazy.
They were diving and pitting. I mean, it fuck was yeah, sick as fuck. And we walked off there like, hell yeah. And Tim's like, what the fuck is wrong with
what
you?
What were you thinking, motherfucker?
God damn. You know, it was so funny. And then at the end of the night, Tim got, the bar gave him, it was, you know, closing time. They gave Tim a 12-pack of package to take with us, you know, which, you know. And Tim, I remember, because he was fucking hammered in the van. So he got like this almost two and a half, three-hour ride home. With Tim drunk as fuck, all up, because we just tore it the fuck up in Chicago, and especially with the shit I said and all this stuff.
Right.
So we were all like on fire, you know, pumped up, and Tim's just fucking going on and on about, dude, you know you fucking made it when the fucking bar gives you a fucking 12-pack. I'm like, dude, seriously?
You made it, bro.
$5, man. Whatever. You know.
That's great.
But yeah, Tim just thought that was the coolest fucking thing. Wasn't talking about, you know, how great the night was and the pit. And the
got
dive.
Free beer, man.
He
that's
got
all
some
that
free beer. He couldn't fucking believe it, so...
It was probably skunk beer.
No, it was all right. It wasn't anything like I gave to the certain person.
Lenny.
Yeah, to Lenny, the dumb drummer. All right, well, we got a Killer Cage match to get to tonight, guys. We know the Killer Cage match is a popular part of the show where we take a list of 70 killers and 70 objects, and this shit's just all over the place. And we let our listeners, Chris, pick those numbers, some random numbers. Time. We got a few listeners to thank once again.
We got Mr. Rick Ring, Mr. Stephen Lyles, and Greg Magslider.
Yeah, Greg Magslider.
Thanks for the numbers, homeboys.
Yeah, thanks for the numbers, Greg, Stephen, and Rick. That's awesome. Tonight, we got a good one, as always, Joey. Who we got in that cage tonight, brother?
Jerry Bruno.
There we go.
And Jeffrey Dahmer.
Nice. So, speak of the devil, we were talking about Dahmer, 213
Patreon.
Himself.
Go get Patreon.
Yeah, you want to hear that Dahmer episode, man. It's going to be fucking sick.
Dude. I mean, we might even do a fucking special cage match.
Dude.
You might have to.
I just made that up just now. So that
Dahmer
could be
versus
not.
All his 17 victims.
Dude, what the fuck?
That would be fucking crazy.
Dahmer versus the ghosts of his 17 victims.
There you go.
That'd be fucking
that might
insane,
be it. So it's going to be a good match tonight. Jerry Brudos, the shoe fetish slayer, and Jeffrey Dahmer, we know all about him, the cannibal. They're going to be fighting CK got a couple of good objects that they're fighting with. What do we got here tonight, brother?
They're going to be fighting with a slingshot with a bucket full of D batteries.
That's a big fucking batteries.
Yeah. That's going to fucking hurt, man.
Oh, yeah. A frosty mug of frozen piss.
Damn.
And the variable is going to be two crack whores fighting over a $10 bill.
Nice. Whores fighting over a $10 bill.
Right.
A gotta bucket like full of D-cell batteries and a slingshot with a frosty mug of frozen piss. Jeffrey Dahmer, Jerry Brudos, Chris.
All right.
What are you thinking, man?
So this has got to go between who? Okay. So here's my thing. The crack whores, I ain't worried about them doing anything.
They're fighting over the money.
Yeah, they're fighting over the money.
Yeah.
But. Them hookers wear some fucking nice shoes.
Oh, yeah.
Brutus fucking.
Or boots or something.
Yeah, Brutus' eye might be catching over there and be like, oh, man, I don't want to fight. I want them fucking shoes.
Right.
So, like, while
it's very
he's
possible.
Like. So, like, I'm guessing, like, well, I'm going to say, like, while Brutus is fighting, like, just. These whores are fighting. They don't care. He's just trying to steal the shoes. He's tackling them to the ground, taking the shoes. Like, I'll give you both $10. Just give me the shoes.
Okay.
And fucking. So he's
at the meantime,
and at the same
Dahmer,
time, Dahmer's
though.
Over here. He's like, huh. I don't care about these bitches, obviously.
Right. Is he
I think
going
he's
for
gonna,
the frosty mug of piss? Or is
I
he...
think he's
going
to go for the frosty mug of piss and just smack Brutus over the back of the head with that fucking frozen-ass glass of piss and just knock his ass out.
Maybe
like,
make
hey,
him a zombie.
Bitches, yeah, you girls leave. I don't even care no more.
Right.
And see, that's where I'm going. And he's got fucking... Brutus knocked out with that mug because Brutus wanting the shoes, so that's all he cares about. So Dahmer like knocks him out with the mug, takes the batteries, busts them open, and drains the battery ass in their head because that's what Dahmer does.
Sure,
puts battery ass in their head trying to make Brutus his zombie. So I'm going with Dahmer on this one with the Jerry Brutus zombie.
Okay, he could also chop his dick off and put it in the mug.
He totally could.
Yeah, now Joey, what do you think, dude?
I mean, I'm kind of along the line with Chris. My scenario is Dahmer. I mean, he's got to get the upper hand. Dahmer and Brutus, neither one of them are like badasses.
Right.
You know
not
what I'm
right.
saying? So I'm thinking that Dahmer, though, he's going to be a little more agile and quick. He's going to grab that mug of piss and he's going to blast it upside Brutus' head and fucking cold cock him for a minute. While he's got him knocked out, he's going to take those batteries and the slingshot. He's going to fucking peg them fucking crack whores because they're fighting. Because they're not paying attention to what's going on because they're fighting over that.
Right.
He's going to fucking slingshot, peg the shim. Then he's going to go over, gnaw their fucking feet off.
Oh, wow.
Throw them in front of Brutus.
Oh,
whenever
damn.
He comes
oh,
to,
shit.
He's going to see the feet and he's going to be so fucking damn. Stoked. And Dahmer's just going to fucking... He's
that's
gonna
nice.
Get him in. Dahmer's going to win.
Okay. Yep. I got Dahmer, yeah.
CK, what do you think, dude?
Mine's like a combination between both of those.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, like Chris said, Brutus is going to go right to the crack cars. He's going to go right for the shoes, and as he's going for the shoes, Dahmer's going to grab the batteries with the slingshot and just start fucking pegging him in the head.
right,
and he's going to kill him, and as a victory, he's going to drink the frosty mug of piss.
Okay.
Like, as is like a victory beer.
Okay. Victory beer. Okay. All right. I like that.
That scenario is wild, man.
That's good stuff there.
Fuck yeah.
And that's what I'm saying. Killer cage match, man. Now, who would have ever thought, Chris, we'd come up with this stupid shit? It's just a big hit. So very cool. It's always good to get some good discussion there. So, all right. Well, very good, guys. I think we did plenty of mayhem tonight. So I think it's about time to hit that outro. Fuck yeah, man.
Fucking
some
A.
Testament hammer of the gods in light of the fact that we talked about Tyler Hadley. Tonight.
I mean, you got to have another hammer song.
Yeah. Well, I had a few in mind, but then I knew we had to do Nuclear Assault. So I'm like, okay, so it's okay.
Yeah.
I was going with the hammer theme.
Song with hammer.
I couldn't. I couldn't. I actually looked. I couldn't.
They're at the Hammersmith Odeon.
There you go.
Three bands, right. One hammer.
Nice.
Three bands, one hammer. Nice.
Very funny. Yes. All right. So thanks for coming in again, Joey. Of course. Yeah. Glad that trip went well for you. Yep. And doing some gourmonger business and hanging out with some good people in South Dakota.
I'll be here next week as we do the Spree Killers.
Nice.
Yeah, man.
That's awesome, man.
Can't wait.
Bumper music by Nuclear Assault, Testament, and Cannibal Corpse. So fucking throwing down tonight with some good stuff.
Yeah.
Chris, who does CK's intro music there?
CK's intro music is by Chrysix.
Fuck yeah.
And I want to just throw out there that CK did inform us that this is his 100th episode anniversary.
That's awesome.
He came in episode 5.
Right.
So, fuck yeah, dude. Happy 100th to you, bro.
Yeah! Ticklish.
Yes. Yes. Congratulations, CK. Your 100th Murder Metal Mayhem episode.
Yeah.
So, that's awesome, dude. And even when you were sick and really having some struggling,
this motherfucker
weeks,
in the hospital,
man.
Nurses
hospital bed.
That was some of the most classic shit ever, dude.
Barely speak, and he's on there fucking doing Murder Metal Mayhem. So that's
right,
awesome.
right out of a CAT scan or a fucking MRI, and I'm waiting for you to call me.
Yeah, it's fucking
that's
amazing.
That's so fucking awesome. I love
it. So, 100 episodes, dude. That's fucking crazy. It doesn't seem like it's been that, but then some days it seems like we've been doing this for years.
Right,
you know what
right.
I mean? We have
exactly.
for two, but still, it seems longer
it seems
than that.
Like,
yeah.
What?
So things change very fast. Murder Metal Mayhem intro music, Joey, is by Barry Manilow or Milli Vanilli?
I mean, you look kind of like... All right.
Oh, God.
But you do the... I mean, the karaoke is kind of like Milli Vanilli.
True.
Right.
What I'm getting at is Low 12's your band, so...
That's right.
And Low 12 is the band that does
it. You want to hear something funny? You bring up Milli Vanilli. I actually just read this, like, a little while ago. It was the anniversary of when Milli Vanilli...
I saw that on Facebook.
Compounds in Connecticut, and they were discovered that they were lip-syncing.
Yeah.
That's funny.
I did see that.
Before the big blow-up.
Yeah, that's pretty funny.
You know
man.
What's fucked up?
I thought that was funny.
Is now in the last fucking...
People do it all the time.
In the last 15 all years, every pop artist, rap artist, whatever, has their track playing behind them constantly.
They
just sing whatever they want to
whatever
over
part
whatever
they
parts.
Need to,
right.
Exactly.
And so it's like, man, Milli Vanilli, you were ahead of your time.
Right.
You just didn't know it.
Exactly. That's true. That's very, very true. So go check out SpellboundEffectsAndArt.com for their incredible catalog.
I'm checking out some shit right now, and it's sick as fuck.
Oh, Tony is fucking amazing. Man, he does some great stuff. So SpellboundEffectsAndArt.com, check it out. Support indie artists like Tony Campagna. He's a great
all
dude.
All the indie artists you can.
Yeah,
because these motherfuckers out here trying to do some shit,
especially right now.
Yeah,
man.
Trying to make a living, trying to make some money in general.
Right,
the way everything
is.
Fuck
so
yeah.
Buy
hit
some
fucking
shit.
FTA Records. Hit Gourmonger. FTA
that's
Records.
Right.
Hit him up.
Yeah.
Buy some shit, man. He's got. We talked about fucking South Dakota earlier, but he was able to fucking unload some shit there. That was awesome, dude. So fuck yeah, man. Hit up Tony, though.
Yeah, big time. Thanks to Spellbound Effects and Art for being a sponsor of the show. We've got some listeners to thank. I mean, we really appreciate it, guys. Like I said, we had 6,999 listens last week total, which we had about 1,000 for the new episode. So that's 5,000 or 6,000 others
back and
listening to other episodes, which is really amazing. So thank you to all the new listeners out there and everybody, not just the new ones, the ones that have been with us since the beginning. We appreciate you very much.
Murder Metal Mayhem worldwide.
I didn't know if you wanted to bring it up, but the Brian Ward. Maybe not reveal everything, but he is going forth with...
Yeah, we found out here recently that Brian Ward of the Dark History and Horror Convention decided to pull the plug this year for obvious reasons, so he is going to do it next year. We're already on the schedule, so we're going to be on it. But I know we had some listeners that were really hoping to meet us there.
At the con, yeah.
And we're not going to be there because it's not happening. So that's unfortunate. That was in October. And now Brian is also doing an event in May next year called the Revenant Con. and it's going to be at Ashmore Estates down by Charleston, Illinois, which is a haunted place that they do a lot of ghost hunts and stuff. We're going to be there in May, so that's a ways off.
And we'll tell you more about it. But it's just breaking news. Good call, Brian,
put out that the Dark History Convention is canceled for October. So it's unfortunate, but we side and understand what you know Brian's going through, and obviously
we've
fully
seen how
support.
This year is gone.
Yeah, it's been fucked up.
I saw.
So.
Never mind. It isn't going to make no sense to nobody.
Chris, what's that first listener
that
comment
first
here?
First listener
man?
Says rain and piss, not raining piss. Rain like. R-E-I-G-N.
That's
rain
right.
In piss.
Rain in 551. Piss from a urinating sky.
Leaking its bladder. Now I shall rain in piss.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. Rain in piss 551, dude. What's up, man? He says, you guys fucking kill it every week. My new favorite podcast. You guys are funnier than the podcast everyone listens to. I keep telling people about you. Keep it up.
Hell yeah, man.
We definitely plan on keeping it up. And thanks for listening. Tell everybody. Fuck yeah. Get them on, man.
Fuck yeah.
Thanks for listening.
Definitely, man.
I don't know about funnier. We're numb, but hell yeah.
Joey, what about that next one, dude?
Evelyn Wills commented, this is seriously the best podcast I've ever heard. Mixing metal with murder is fucking genius. I love you guys. Please, Torn, come to Florida. Ooh. Fuck you. Your kids smash people with hammers.
Yeah. I'm not going anywhere near Pot St. Lucie with the fucking crazy bastards down there.
Yeah,
holy
fuck
shit.
Yeah.
Oh,
no. Fuck yeah,
I'll bring a sledgehammer, though. Right, fuck. Yeah. You want to play with hammers? I'll break out the sledgehammer.
Fuck yeah. But thanks, Evelyn, dude. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I'm glad you listened.
Yeah, we're just fucking with you, Evelyn.
Awesome.
Tony's from
keep
Florida,
up,
so we're all about
yeah.
it. We're
keep
just
it up, girl.
Having
Hell
some
yeah.
fun. All right, CK, what about the next one, dude?
Ronnie Curtis 89 commented, I love the music you guys play between the parts of the show. How do you pick the songs you play?
Well,
it depends.
Sometimes it's just random songs like, I'm going to play this song and like tonight.
Sometimes they tie in.
Right, exactly. Hammer Smash Face obviously ties into the fucking... like.
Yeah, we always play a song from the band that CK's featuring. So we always make sure that we play a song from that band. And lately CK's just been saying, hey, dude, play like tonight, play Betrayal. So that's what I did. But
hey,
then,
that actually could fit in.
It did fit in. Yeah. I thought the same thing.
If you think about it.
Yeah, for sure. It does fit in.
I like to say I was a genius.
That's right. Well, usually
totally
the funniest ones happen by accident.
Smart motherfucker.
And the other two, you know, with the hammer tie-in. But yeah, I mean, sometimes it's random. Sometimes CK will bring up a band, and then I'll be listening to it in my free time, and then I'm like, oh, I got to play these guys like Orange Goblin or whatever. Yeah. And so some of them come up like that in our conversation, makes me want to listen to it. So, yeah, it's just kind of a random thing, but sometimes they tie in, sometimes they don't. Usually it's something I'm digging, or Chris may send me something and say, hey, check this out. So try to keep it mixed up, too, to not always play, you know, death metal or classic, but just kind of mix it up.
Yeah.
So very cool. And then the last one there, Chris.
Oh, this motherfucking
this is for you.
Yeah, Dank Buds 69. Fuck yeah, what up? Fucking the karaoke shit cracks me up. Don't Worry, Be Happy was really the best one yet. Laugh my ass off in Montreal.
Nice.
Fuck yeah, dude.
Hell yeah, Dank Buds 69 in Montreal, which is on the top 10 cities list right now.
Shit,
so that's fucking
dude.
Awesome.
I love them Dank Buds, too.
And thanks for the comment on Don't Worry, Be Happy. That was a fun one to do. I know, CK, you got a kick out of that.
Took
that
some
was
work.
Fucking
that
funny.
That actually took some work for you.
Yeah,
though,
it
too,
did.
Dude.
It was a little bit of work to do that one. So
yeah.
That was funny.
Well, don't forget to check out MurderMetalMayhem.com to listen to all our episodes and bonus content. And
all 105.
Fuck
plus
yeah.
Bonus.
Plus
bonus, yes. Also, go check out the Murder Metal Mayhem YouTube channel and subscribe to that. Follow us on Twitter at GetYourMurderOn and like us on Facebook. We'll have all these links in the episode description. Join that 666 Club we've been talking about. Support the podcast on our Patreon page at patreon.com/murdermetalmayhem. $3 a month. Get all sorts of VIP access. And you're going to get to listen to the Dahmer episode, which is going to be fucking awesome.
And that's all.
That's going to be good.
You get to hear that.
That's right.
And before we end the show, I just got one thing I want to say.
Yeah.
For anyone that knows, because I know there's people out there that know, I just want to say, bang, bang, boogie, boogie, bang, bang. That's it.
Okay. Yeah, don't miss next week. We do some Spree Killers. That should be fucking wild. And I had to destroy another karaoke song this week from a band I absolutely despise, but just for the sake of the podcast, I thought it kind of fit with Tyler Hadley just being a partying fucking fool. So until next time, keep one foot in the gutter.
And keep that hammer smashing faces, dude.
I just want to go on the record as saying I still fucking hate Kiss, man. I mean, I really fucking hate Kiss. You show us everything you've got. You keep on dancing and the room gets hot. You'll drive us wild, we'll drive you crazy. You say you want to go for a spin. The party should be going to let you in. You drive us wild, we'll drive you crazy. You keep on shouting, you keep on shouting. Wild, we'll drive you crazy. You show us everything you've got. Baby, baby, that's quite a lot. And you drive us wild, we'll drive you crazy. You keep on drowning, you keep on drowning.
Mother, man.